Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
And our shop, which is actorsbreakdown.com/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody. I'll be right back. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. We are everywhere. We're worldwide. Today, I guess I should put in our phone number. I'm off balance today. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. This is Hammer Radio Network. We're not PC kind of people, or we. I'm not. I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm going to tell how I feel about it. Definitely give you real talk. None of that bullshit, millennial bullshit. Or Gen Xers or whatever. I'm a Neanderthal. I'm back in old school. The number for the studio is 319-527-6099. If you'd like to come in and talk to me or argue with me or just say I'm dumb. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. 319-527-6099. Welcome. We're going to talk about sex. You know, I always say relationships are not complicated. People are. People make them. Sex. I don't understand it. A man puts his penis into a vagina. That's it. That's it. Why is it so much mystery and personal and sacred and blah, blah, blah? I mean, when a pregnant woman who gets pregnated during sex, I mean, is that baby, I mean, do you want to, people look at the baby inside the woman's belly and think it's beautiful? I mean, do we shelter that baby or shade that baby going, oh, that's disgusting because that was made by sperm? And what is this mystery about sex? And what is it about guys that when a woman says a hot girl, not an ugly one, but a hot chick says she loves sex. What is it? What's going on there? Why is it such a mystery and deviant and whatever? Because I guess for a long period of time, women, it says in the Bible, you're not supposed to like sex. You're only supposed to use it to have babies. If you enjoy it, it's called a sin. That's what it's about. That's what the Catholics say, or I like to say the Catholics. Nobody bought that. In the Stone Ages and everything, nobody bought that. That sex was not for fun. That sex was only to have children. No, nobody cared about that. But why is it so sacred? I wonder. And why is it so many different, you read these books, and why is there so many different positions in sex? Isn't one enough? Stick with it. Stay in the lane. Why do you need 129 positions? Why do you need those stupid things? It's ridiculous. Pick one. Stay with it. If it's enjoyment, why? Who needs reverse cowgirl? Who needs it? And the average human being only sticks with three in your lifetime. I don't know how many positions there are. There are people saying there's 149. There's people saying there's 89, whatever. The average person doesn't go through all those. They go to the three basic thing: missionary, doggy, and whatever happens when you're drunk. Those are the three. Or high. That's it. They don't bother with the other 100 positions, and who cares? Our top story, the reason we're talking about that is I have a lot of people on Twitter, and they're independent erotic writers. I don't know what it is that when a woman gets a certain age, if you can't do it, teach it. So I guess if you can't do it, you write about it. Because I'm beginning to think a lot of these independent erotic writers are lonely. They don't have a guy. Maybe they feel free they can talk about it. Or most of it is about their fantasy. I don't know. I will have him on the show soon. I actually will. But this caught my eye. Here we go. The main topic is, are you connected to your sexual energy? You know, this is nothing new. We had this in the 60s and everything where Johnson and Johnson, and we had these studies about sex and awakening sex and the Contra and the Rock and the Stone and sexual healing. Come on. I guess the Gen Zers or whatever, millennials, never heard about it. But that brings us to, so they got my attention, that brought me to the movie. They gave women allowed to say in public that they like porn. Before, women did not talk about it. Women did not talk about sex until the movie 50 Shades of Grey came out. Hell, they had little parties. Women could come out and they could freely talk about sex at these little parties and watch the movie. And what's the movie about? I have no idea. I didn't even see the trash. The stupidity of the movie. I don't know. But we will play a trailer of it to get me accustomed to this. All I know, this is about mind control and control. I don't know the rest of the stupid movie, but it was a movie. I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day, I don't know what it is. It was a good movie. I don't know the name of this movie. I swear to you, if you're listening to me and you know the name of the movie, if you come in the studio and tell me it, because it's been driving me crazy for 3 years and I don't know the fucking title of the movie. I don't know. And it's been driving me crazy for 3 years. A friend of mine, he was starting to be a psychiatrist. God, I don't even remember it. Did it have to be in the late 90s or the 2000s? Well, it's a movie. And this movie drove women nuts. Crazy. I mean, to a point where they're almost rapists. And I remember that. Me and my friend, his name was John. John was studying to be a psychiatrist. I was in college. That's right. I was doing rehab. So I was in college because that's when I met John. Because John was a counselor and I was working with the handicapped kids. Yes, I was working with the handicapped college kids. I needed a job, so I drove the van for kids who were disabled. I was working in a disabled student center where kids were having a hard, well, college students who were disabled having a hard time get to college and home. I worked with them. John was the counselor. Yeah, I did good things. Yes, I do, and I don't talk about them. Anywho. So John and I became friends. We started playing tennis. You know, I didn't realize he lived next to me. So one day I was like, hey, John, what do you want to do? And he goes, I don't know. Let's go to the movies. We're going to the movies. I don't know the name of this movie. If you know the name of the movie, please come in the studio and tell me. I will give you a prize or something because it's driving me crazy. 319-527-6099. This movie drove women out of their fucking minds, man. They're running around looking at guys as dildos and adult toys. Made them, oh my God, it soaked their panties. They had to bring double panties, just one for the movie, and then they change in the bathroom, and it's just crazy. All I could do is describe the movie, and hopefully somebody out there knows the name of this movie. It had to be done in the late 90s, early 2000s. Apparently, it was this woman. And the movie was about this woman. And in the beginning, it's this woman and this husband. He was going on a business trip. They had a so-so, you know, but they had a loving relationship. But they had a, you know, not so good sex life. As you can tell, me and John were in the seats. Oh, but before we talk about the theater, what happened to the theater, we decided to go to the movie. We don't know anything about this movie. And as we were walking up to the box office, there was a group of women in this car. And they drove by us and they stopped. They didn't know who we were. We didn't know who they were. Just strangers. They asked us if we were going to go to the movie. I go, yes. And there was like four or five of them in there. And they were all giddy and everything. They go, you're going to love. I mean, they were talking all dirty and shit. And they were going, arr. You know, they were like a wild bunch. It's like a bunch of women who broke out of prison. They were so wet. You could see them sliding off the seat. They couldn't even sit still. Well, as two gentlemen, as we did not get in the car because we were invited to get in the car, which we should have gotten in the car, but we already paid for the ticket. We went into the movie. That's how crazed this movie was. We get there loaded with chicks. And we looked around. There were maybe six dudes, and they were gay. You know they were gay. They looked, you know, fruity pants. They were there. They're all gay. They were gayed up. Gay as fuck. Yeah. And I go, okay. So basically, me and John were the only straight dudes there, wondering what the fuck did we do. We could have been in there and having an orgy with these wild bunch who just drove. So again, opening scene, you got the couple. They had their sex life was like, but they love each other. The guy said he's going on a business trip and he leaves. Okay. John and I are going, what the fuck are we here? I mean, I hope something happens. Somebody breaks in, they chop a head off, or there's spiritual things. There might be a ghost. Somebody gets possessed. I don't know because we don't know that much about this movie. Again, I don't know the title. I don't know the title. Damn, I wish I knew the title. So we started watching the movie because it cost us money. And so she was reading a book. She that night, that same evening, she's asleep in bed. And she's hearing somebody break in the house. She gets scared. She gets worried. You know what you do. You're comforting. And the first couple of times, it's just a shadow. She doesn't see who the person is, and they go away. And the next morning, you know, she's burglar-proof her home. That's what it does. Fourth night, it comes back. But this time, it goes into the bedroom. She sees him, and this guy's a weird shit, you know, like the Phantom of the Opera, this is what this burglar is. You know, just weird costume bullshit, threatening things, you know what I mean? Almost these weird masks that you would see at a Roman orgy. And in the beginning, it looks like he's terrorizing this poor woman. Then he leaves, and she's shaking, and she's terrorized. She's calling the cops, everything. Until one time, he breaks in. She doesn't see him anymore, and she's worried. I mean, she's not worried, but she's looking around thinking it's gone. And he comes back another night dressed like a chicken. This is when I made a joke like the San Diego chicken, and people in the theater started laughing, but okay. But he was a chicken. I don't know why he was a chicken, but he was a chicken. And she looked at him and everything, and I guess she looked at his chicken eyes and deep in his little chicken blue eyes and everything, and he flapped his wings and left the bedroom. Then bottom line of the story is he comes back disguised as other things, and he starts seducing her. She doesn't know who he is. She starts to like it. It becomes really mysterious sex. She's enjoying this hot sex. And she's waiting for him and craving for him in the evening time, and it is the best sex she ever had. I mean, it's hot, sweaty summer sex. And this mystery goes on, and her mind goes crazy. And to the very end, you guessed it, it was her husband. I don't know what the name of that damn movie. It was her husband. Now, this came out before 50 Shades of Grey. Like 20 years, 50 Shades of Grey came out later with it. Hollywood, there's no original stories anymore. So 50 Shades of Grey, I liked it better when it was called 9 1/2 Weeks, which was a better takeoff. I love 9 1/2 Weeks. But this got women talking. For the first time, women started, and playful with it. Women started being playful. They weren't so serious about sex. They weren't so serious if somebody touched their shoulder. And then they weren't afraid to grab that finger and twist it, or if a guy touched them inappropriate at a concert, they weren't afraid to turn around and kick him in the balls. And I'm being honest. They weren't afraid to slap him. It wasn't such, oh, my God, you touched my body, and my body is so sacred, I'm going to sue the hell out of you and ruin your life because I am special. My body is godlike. But that gave them the conversation, that movie, way back in the late 90s, and it was playful conversation about sex. You know what I mean? We weren't so uptight. Now, so did this other movie, 50 Shades of Grey, which is a crappy movie. But, again, that brought into a new generation who did not see 9 1/2 Weeks and who did not see that other movie I was talking about. But, again, it brought the conversation out. Girls were talking about sex. Ladies were talking about sex. And mind you, before, women were having Tupperware parties and men parties and bachelor parties and all those kind of parties. And down under, men down under, people were going to these male reviews. I mean, you know. But they still were not talking about it jokingly and fondly. But these little movies, like, what's the movie? 50 Shades of Grey. It was okay for women to be horny. And they laughed about it, and they enjoyed their sexuality. They weren't so uptight. Well, Dakota Fanning was in that movie. Dakota Johnson, I'm sorry. Dakota Johnson was in that movie. And she was openly talking about her sexual desires when she signed up for the movie. And she was in for a big surprise when she started to do the movie. We're going to talk about that. That's our main story. Our second story is that Meghan Markle has a podcast. There are some people who just are haters, man. And there are some people who are just want to get ratings and hate people for no reason at all. We're going to just listen to a little bit of her podcast and you tell me what you think. We'll be right back. But like I'm saying, man, when women were just cool, when women were cool, man. That's when they were. They were so fucking cool, man. They were jet setters. They were so fucking cool. They used to ride on back of a motorcycle. They even call themselves biker bitches, and they used to wear the jacket. And God, when women were so, nowadays they're so fucking uptight that you even look their way and make them feel uncomfortable. They will, they think their body is such a temple that they will sue the hell out of you. What happened to women? What happened to 9.5 week kind of girl? What happened to 50 Shades of Grey kind of girl? What happened to I burn my bra, I don't see you, I don't see you, you see my tits, I am woman, and if you touch me, I'll break your bones and I'll kick you in the balls. What happened to that girl? What happened to I am strong, I am woman? She became a pussy and a pansy. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. We'll be right back with our main story. Are you connected to your sexual energy? My, and I put my sexual energy as woke. Dakota Johnson says no one would have filmed 50 Shades if they knew what the set drama entailed. And there's a woman. Her name is Hitomi. I guess she's a Japanese woman. And she loves talking about taking deep, mindful breaths and honoring every side of herself, all the light, dark, and shadow bullshit. But anyway, she wants you to describe for fashion, inspiration, self-love practices, long rambles on spiritual truth. You know, it's always cool. You know, the women do this. Men, you'll never see a man do this. Sex is sex. But you'll never see, but women would like to throw in a spiritual thing like you can't reach it, you know what I mean? Like their orgasm is so such an, so special and so, we got to go through spiritual world to achieve it. They bring it in there. So when you start bringing spiritual sexual energy into just sex, you're a nut. You're cuckoo. But this woman brings it in. And she brings her spiritual truth and wholesome stuff all around. That's when you hear her, and I think she's full of bullshit. But yet, she's a woman who loves her sexuality. But like I said, when we come back, I'm making coffee. Our first story will be Dakota Johnson says no one would have filmed 50 Shades of Grey if they knew the drama that was on that set. We'll talk about that. All right, if you'd like to come in the studio, and we'll be right back. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. Come on in the studio. We'll be right back. Yeah. There you go. Simple. Brings back memories. I mean, how did we get to this point where we go in different areas with the S&M, the BND, the IOU, the spank me, love me thing? You know, we used to make live calls on this show. I would love to call one of these adult bookstores or adult shops, whatever, and find out what the bestseller is. It's a billion-dollar business with a B. Now, you got to think, if it's a billion-dollar business, what's going on here in America? Are these men not satisfying these women? Are these women have other ideas? Have women take sexuality into another realm that we cannot understand, that is so spiritual? These fantasies are just unreachable fantasies that they leave mere humans behind. That you get these erotic novels and then you're reading about, you know, Peter Pussyboy with his low-flowing hair or his big afro sheen or whatever. And he got the curls going on with a body that you wouldn't believe. And the reason he got that body, because he doesn't work. No man, no working man has time to be in a gym 24 hours a day. Sorry. So who has time to build up bodies like that? Out of work men who live with mommy. But how do we get there? I mean, you're buying this. Women want more in sexuality. Women are willing to lie to men to get rid of them quickly so they could play with their dildos or their vibrators or their butt plugs to go into their fantasy. Because mere mortal men cannot keep up with your spiritual self. Because men, egos are so fragile that we can't keep up with that. I don't know. Sex should be easy. You go in, you poke it, and that's it. That's it. None of this other bullshit. None of this spiritual bullshit. It's a pokey and you're out. We get all confused when women want more. They want spiritual stuff. They want fantasy. No. No, 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 no. Here we go. But before we get there, remember what we're talking about when women were cool, man? I'm telling you, man, women were so fucking cool. Remember the horror films, Friday the 13th and everything? Back in the day, women used to run through the forest topless. Remember they used to slow it down in slow motion so we could see the titty? And they were so cool running from Jason or a killer topless. How cool is that? And they fell down, they got a little dirty, and they got up again, and they ran. And they were big women, too. That's it. Women were so fucking cool in the 70s and the 80s. Meaning that if I'm talking to you now, your grandma was so fucking cool, man. So fucking cool. Now you got women out here. If you just look at them cross-eyed, or you stare at them, or you maybe pinch their butt, oh my God, it's just like it's a criminal activity going on here. You lose everything. Case in point, before we get to our main story, for the transition here, Gary Busey. Gary Busey is 70 fucking 8, man. 70 fucking 8. 70 fucking 8. Even Viagra has its limits. 70 fucking 8. And he was busted. Here's the headline. This was yesterday. Gary Busey denies sexual assault claims after New Jersey police filed criminal charges. You're going to file criminal charges on a 70 fucking 8 dude. Let me tell you something. If you're a woman and you cannot defend yourself from a 70-fucking-8-year-old man, what the hell is wrong with you? Unless you're an 80-year-old broad. But seriously, You couldn't punch this old man? You couldn't kick him in his old sack of balls? Are you serious? But you want the deep pockets. So what happened to women nowadays is that we want the deep pockets, and we can get deep pockets on a settlement. What did this man do that warrant criminal charges? We're talking Gary Busey. Now, Gary says none of this happened. And the seriousness of it, some of you guys are chuckling and some of you guys are making him a hero. Let me tell you something. If this guy goes to jail, even for 2 years, which is not going to happen, he's Gary fucking Busey. You know, the judge is going to look at him and say, you're not a really, you know, you're a bad boy. Well, the worst thing we'll do is take away your Viagra and put you in a room by yourself. Or put a bracelet on your dick so we know where you are at all times. Nothing's going to happen. But let's just go that you get one of these feminist judge that decides to put this guy, teach him a lesson that he will spend 6 months in jail. On a 78-year-old man? That's almost a life sentence. And for what? We're going to find out for what. For what? For what? He claims nothing happened. Gary Busey denied sexual assault accusations filed against him in New Jersey while filling up his tank at a gas station in Malibu. Busey, 78, was charged Friday with 2 counts of criminal sexual contact in the fourth degree, in addition to 1 count of attempted criminal sexual contact. Criminal sexual contact? What the fuck is that? This occurred at a hotel in the Cherry Hill area, following an appearance at, this is Cherry Hill, is we're talking California, Long Beach. He was doing an appearance for an annual Monster Mania convention August 12th to the 14th. When asked what happened at the event and if Busey had any regrets about the situation, he replied, no, I don't carry any regrets with me ever. None of that happened. Look at that put him. Look how innocent Gary Busey looks. He looks like a little innocent little cub just lost in the woods. What a little innocent face that is. Busey went on to describe the encounter as he pumped gas along Pacific Coast Highway in Point Doom. He said there was a partner and a camera lady and me. And 2 girls were the only ones in there. Fox News Digital contacted the Cherry Hill Police Department and Gary Busey's representative for the comment. Busey claimed the entire encounter took less than 10 seconds, and they left. 10 seconds, my friend. 10 seconds. That's how much. That's how long it takes for somebody to be a criminal or suspected as a criminal. Perk. 10 seconds. 10 seconds and his life is over. It took 10 seconds. His career could have been over. I guarantee you if it was a young guy who was 35, Ryan Reynolds or whatever, can you imagine that? The same encounter, 10 seconds, what this could do to his career. Gary said it took 10 seconds and they left. Then they made up a story that I assaulted them sexually. I did not. I believe the 78-year-old pervert. I do. When asked again if the story is not true, Busey said nothing happened. Nothing. It was all false. He was adamant in saying there was no accusation going on here. He was also asked if there was any chance he had possibly been inappropriate and was just unaware of the action. Now, that's a very important statement right here. Is there any chance he had possibly been inappropriate and was just not aware of his actions? Come on, man. To which he replied, no, not inappropriate at all. I have eyewitnesses there. Busey was on hand at the convention. He dedicated to horror films and fans, which was hosted by Doubletree Hotel in Cherry Hill earlier this month when police responded to the location for the report of a sex offense. In a press release shared by Sherry Hill, Brucey was charged on August 19th with a total of four counts, including one count of harassment. And one count of harassment? What is harassment? Hey, come on, really? Come on, do you want to write? No, I don't want to write. Come on, really? Do you sure you don't want to? No, I don't want to write. Oh, come on, I just live close by you. Do you want to? No, I don't want to write. Okay, you're harassing me. Is that how it works now? Seriously? Immediately upon receiving a complaint from the attendees, the celebrity guest was removed from the convention and instructed not to return. Monster Mania also encouraged the attendees to contact the police to file a report. Oh, okay. Are you fucking kidding me? The safety and well-being of our... Safety and well-being, it's a horror fest, you fucks. We're doing a horror thing, and everything horror, people running around with axes in their heads and everything, and it's horror, 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 and that's what we're hosting. It's called the Monster Mania. Well, if anybody bothers you, please call the police. You pussies. Pussy. I hope somebody destroys the Monster Mania. Pussies. Again, I used to make live calls. I can't do it anymore. I would call these sons of bitches. Encouraging people to file a police report. Sons of bitches. Speaking of the King of Kings, this guy knows how to treat a woman. You know what I'm trying to say? When they see him sing, they just pull down their top and say, suck my nipples and I won't press charges, Mr. King. Good morning, Mr. King.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing good. It's good to hear your voice, King. How's it going? Are you at school?
Well, I'm doing school off my laptop right now.
Okay.
Everything's going real good, man. I love it, you know. Been
right.
Learning how to build airplanes and everything, and it's going really well, you know. So, It's actually just very interesting, you know.
Right.
I know one of the things that I was learning about, it was it's called electrical bond, and basically those electrical bonds, they're on all airplanes, and those are on all the airplanes, and they protect the airplane from being electrocuted. You know, when there's a storm going on and stuff like that. And
right.
So yeah, I'm learning a lot, you know, and I love it, you know. So it's pretty cool, you know. It's pretty cool to see and to know who does what, you know, just like
right.
Like Spirit, it's called Spirit, and they make all the parts and then they ship them to Boeing, and then Boeing puts the airplanes together. And that's for the commercial. And then, like, Textron, they do all the private jets and stuff like that. And then you have some other ones here in the city. They do the private jets as well, you know, and some of the other airplanes. But, yeah, man, it's going real good. You know, I love it. I'm enjoying it. And I'm trying to get all these classes knocked out before the last week of September, you know. And then I can move into the shop and get that out the way, and then have my job working at one of the aircraft companies. Hopefully I'll have that in November. But everything's going good, man. I'm just staying busy and working, and, you know, because I'm, like, working part-time somewhere to keep bills, you know, paid and stuff,
right.
And then going to school. So everything's going
right.
good. The kids are doing good. They love their new school. And everything's going real good, though. But, yeah, I've been busy and everything, and, you know, last week was my first week in school, and so, you know, I seen you getting on and everything, and I was like, dang, I can't get on right now, and so I was like, I'm gonna get on, and so, yeah.
You're always gonna be the morning crew, King. When you get on you're always the morning crew, and morning crew has priority. It's good to hear your voice, man. It is really good to
hear
your voice.
And good morning to everybody that's listening. Everybody's probably been like, where's King Webb at? Well,
they asked about you.
Yeah.
They did
I'm
ask about
student.
You. What's going on? But, you know, King, I was talking, you know, I could have talked about Trump. I'm tired of talking about Trump. Nothing resolves. You know, you're talking, but when these women attack a 78-year-old man, Gary Busey.
Yeah.
For sexual assault. 78, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a single man, King. And I cannot imagine being single right now. I mean, you are a musician. I mean, you are a target, man. You're a musician. You write your own songs. You perform your own music.
Yeah.
You're doing behind the scenes of producing and promoting and marketing. And not only that, you're also, what we just heard, you know, going into other areas too and building up that resume. But I cannot imagine, back in my day, King, if I was at a concert and we're packed into something, and I mean really packed, and there's a girl in front of us and I could pinch her in the butt, she'll look around and maybe she'll hit somebody in the face. She's not looking around and saying, I'm going to get my attorney and I'm going to find out who the fuck did this and I'm going to take you down.
Yeah.
How does it feel? I mean, are you careful dating nowadays? Seriously. I mean, does it scare you to date since you're a single guy?
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to have to back it up a little bit. Now, with me being in school, I've already been told, when I'm done with school, I've already been told how much money I can make, you know?
Right.
And just to give everyone an estimate, I can start out making $23 to $24 an hour and higher, you know?
Right.
Just in the aircraft, you know? And if I decide to go overseas and work on stuff, that's going to be hidden to $76, maybe $100 an hour, you know?
Right.
So with me already stepping into a field where I'm going to be making buku money, you know, I keep that in mind. And then also, I also tell myself, with any woman I get with, they're going to have to accept what comes with me. They have to accept my three children. They have to accept me being a musician. They have to accept me when I wake up throughout the hours of the night networking if I decide to, or interviews and just people, fans, all that, you know what I mean? And so, you know, when it comes to the whole dating thing right now, I'm just kind of putting it on hold because, for one, with or without a female, I'm going to have money in my pocket, you know.
Right.
You know, it's got to be some trust. It's got to be some loyalty. It's got to be all that stuff, you know. And right now, these women, they know, okay, he's a single dad. He's always got money. They look at me as ATM machines. So I tell them, no, that's not that kind of party, you know. And then, you know, when I posted up a picture of me holding a sign where it says first day of school, and so I had a lot of people looking at my Facebook story, and a few of the women, you know, they still like me and this and that. But the thing is that, you know, back then, you looked my way, I didn't give you the time of the day, and now you all looking to up from the floor up and you want me to get with you, and it's like it's not happening. And so, you know, a woman's gotta have something for me to be interested in. And I just kinda lay it out there, and I let women know, if you don't have your own place, if you don't have your own car, a great paying job, and to get head on your shoulders, don't look my way, because it's not gonna happen. You know, and your appearance has to be nice too. I can't deal with the woman who's snaggle too. I'm just gonna be real. I can't do it. You know, I mean,
didn't even think of that.
Some women, they say, well, you know, when a woman ain't got no teeth, you know what that means? I say, yeah, sore penis, right?
You know.
And you know, I mean, so you know, a lot of women they get into these relationships for the wrong things and for the wrong reasons, and a lot of women, they come to me and they want me to be the extra source of income, and it's not happening, you know. And so with this article you're talking about, you know, I don't know what the deal could be, but it seems like the woman could be after this man's money, because come on now. If you're 78 years old, you have to be getting a good retirement somewhere. You have to be getting some type of other extra source of income. And so, who's to say you don't have a good looking house? You probably do, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if this woman is trying to take him to court or whatever it could be, you know, it could be one of those money issues. You know, this woman's wanting some money. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, but dating nowadays. It's not the
if
same
a woman. But King, if a woman want to go with her hustle and get with a man and get his money.
Yeah.
That's cool with
yeah.
me. I understand that.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if that's and if a man knows what's going on, that is cool. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But Gary Busey is a well-known star. He's an actor. He's very popular.
Yeah.
But when
okay.
these women are 70 fucking 8 years old, man, and the guy maybe grabbed your ass or something, what's he going to do? If you cannot defend yourself and hit a 78-year-old man and knock him to the ground or kick him in his 78-year-old balls, come on, man. You're
yeah.
up to the money.
Yeah.
111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer, Jackson, and King. 111.
Brian, I'm here to offer my help to help you sort out this issue.
Okay, Sarge.
Now, look, man, first of all, since you brought up Donald Trump, there's always one question that remains to be asked. Donald Trump put it very famously. Gary Busey is well-known star.
Right.
You'd have to say he's probably an A-minus celebrity, okay? He's
right.
there, well-recognized, Oscar nominee, all that stuff. And what did Donald Trump say about celebrities? If you're a big celebrity, these women
yes.
will, listen to me now, here's the money part. Let
yeah.
you grab them by the pussy. Isn't that what he said? So if
That's
they let
said.
You grab them by the pussy, it's consensual.
That's
no harm,
do.
No foul. But I got more. Women, I got
if
more.
If you're a celebrity and you have a lot of money, women just throw their pussy at you like pussy pie.
They yeah, they that. Let you. That is the key. Now, that is the question. Did she
Here's
let it?
The key.
Okay,
Thank
next. Here's the next thing. The guy's
yes.
78 years old. He's about the same age as Joe Biden. Joe Biden's walking around dementia. He's president of the United States. Now, Gary Busey, remember back in 1988, Gary Busey had a motorcycle accident, damn near killed him. He busted his head on the pavement. Remember? He was a linebacker in high school. He's getting looks from the college pros. The guy's got CTE, and he might have dementia. And he was seen in a park smoking a cigar after he pulled his pants down and started jacking off. He's got a case of being senile, dementia, and CTE. Case closed. He ain't got nothing to worry about.
Come on.
He ain't got nothing to worry about, man. He got all the bases covered.
Well, I am a Democrat, and you are a Republican. I understand it. But Biden does not, he doesn't have dementia. He just has, I have not a clue what Biden has. But he has done good things.
I think he's got a bit of the method actor in him. He was in One
yeah.
Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, wasn't he? Maybe he's got lingering
no.
after effects, PTSD, from portraying the role too realistically.
He was
See,
not.
I should be on the man's legal team if it comes to that. I'm telling you, I'm going to get him off. I get him off. I don't mean that way. I mean to get him off a legal charge.
Well, let me ask you this while we're on this subject. Because King, who's on a... King, have you met Sarge? You guys met, right? King and Sarge? King?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
How you doing this morning, Sarge?
Okay. King is in his... I'm saying King's in his 30s. I don't want to say... I'm thinking. Sarge, you're single, too. You're a widower. You're single, too. These women are vicious out here. These women are... headhunters, and what I mean by that is headhunters. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a different breed of women out here, and that. Let's just and Sarge, how do you feel? You're a single guy. Do you date, or are you afraid
Listen
of dating?
To me, man. When my wife passed, you realize I was an incel for over three years after she died. You want to know why? Not because I didn't have the opportunity. I have plenty of opportunity.
Right.
But like you said, I knew what a lot of these women are. They're headhunters. They're unreliable. They're mercenary. You can't trust a thing they say.
Yes.
They're full of it. I'd rather not have a relationship than have a relationship
right.
with a lot of these women I met. Now, I found the woman by pure
right.
accident, and I got
uh-huh.
a great relationship now. And believe me, it's worth the wait. But it's hell in the meantime. That interim that we use was hell because I'm a very, very sexually energetic individual. And it was hell on me, man. I couldn't do I had to sublimate it. And that's why I stayed in good shape because I got to working out. Because I couldn't do it no other way.
Yeah.
But believe me, man, well, I know what you're talking about, man. I mean, it's just something. I think there's more toxic femininity out there than there is toxic masculinity, and I don't believe in either concept.
I agree with you.
I don't believe in either concept. If there is such a thing, and I don't believe there is, I think there's more toxic femininity out there right now than toxic masculinity.
It gets worse when you get older. I mean, you think – I've been in stores where these old ladies – when I say old ladies, we're talking late 60s, 70s. One lady I'm sure was 80 years old, and they're trying to pick me up. First, I'm insulted. That's number one. Okay, come on, I could be your grandchild. Stop it. Behave yourself. But these women, as they get older, they're like horny zombies. They're walking around looking for men. If you walk upright, that's enough for some of these old women to get a hold of you and start flirting with you with their old little cockle bodies. These horny seniors, these women who are seniors are very horny. They'll go after you like they're little horny zombies. That's who they are. And
I think I'm not sure about this, but I've heard that as a woman ages, the estrogen testosterone balance changes more toward in favor of testosterone. So that might explain it somewhat.
I don't know, but all I know is that they look at me as an adult toy that they can play with, and I'm saying, and you have to, I don't know what you do. As you get older, they get older too, and they get more hornier. That's all I can say. So, King, you know, in the 30s and everything, enjoy, because if you think, if it gets, you know, women get a little bit softer and ease up when they get into their 40s and the 50s, they get hornier and more aggressive. Some of these women are missionaries, like Sartre says. You know, I'm just saying, you got to be careful with these women. I don't know what got into them. And a lot of these women haven't had a guy in a long
time. It was really depressing, man. I mean, maybe it was just happened. I just happened to be in the wrong place and not meeting the right people. But I said, no, I ain't rather let myself expose myself to this. I'm just going to stay out of the scene altogether. And quite by accident, I met a wonderful young woman who I got a great relationship with, and I've had it for years now. And it was, believe me, it was worth the wait.
Well, these women, some of these women peak at 50. I'm thinking about carrying some bear spray because at 50, man, these women are going after your dick. They're going to rock your dick at 50. I mean,
and
my God.
They look to try to get the hooks on some of your dough, too.
Oh, yeah. They want that retirement pay.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you, man. Hey, you know, believe me, man. Some of them are like, you know, sharks, the blood in the water.
They sure do. Some of them will take you right to their lawyer and get that will change, especially if you have children. It's tough, man.
No, it is. But look, in Gary Busey's case, like I said, man, he's got the brain injury. Okay? As well documented.
Right.
He almost died, man, in that motorcycle accident in the end.
Right. And even if he did, I mean, here's what he's accused of, groping some women, groping. Groping, that means, that's what he's accused of. He's not accused, what happened to the old days?
Was sexual he assault hair sniffing too? That's what I want to know. Was he sniffing hair too?
I don't know. Stop it.
Because, you know, that's a sign, too, man. You know, hair sniffing and groping and, sneaking up behind him and grabbing him and whatnot. This is like behaviors I'm beginning to associate with this kind of activity. I'm just wondering, since we have some very public examples of it.
Right. Well, here's one thing. It's just this, then we'll get to our main story. But, you know, here's one here that says, what was it? Gary Brucey was seen with trousers around his ankles at a park.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He was, you know, he's smoking a cigar after he got through jerking himself off.
Really? Apparently. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He may have needed to.
It was that point Doom. It was at Point Doom Park in Malibu.
What?
Yeah.
It says it was a star was photographed a day after
this incident happened. It happened on Sunday. Saturday afternoon, rather. Saturday afternoon.
His pants was down and his hands was buried in his crotch in broad daylight. Well, I mean, there could be
according
an explanation.
To the, according to the reports
mean,
now, yes, that is correct, according to the reports.
That's according to the I mean, maybe he had an itch, and he just scratched his itch. You know what I mean? Let's just not jump to conclusions. Just because a man has his pants down in a park and his hand in his crotch doesn't mean anything. Let's just not jump to conclusions. He could have just had an itch.
Precisely.
It says here, Gary, yeah, I mean, Gary often sits on a bench in front of his home to meditate and look at the ocean. You know, I don't know. Remember George Bush, who used to, Barbara Bush used to laugh when George Bush used to pinch these girls' butts. And Barbara Bush used to just laugh. And George Bush, remember that? They tried to do that criminalization on George Bush. Remember that one woman wanted to file criminal charges at George Bush because George Bush pinched her in the butt? And Barbara Bush just laughed and say, oh, that's just George. He does that. And you didn't hear anything of it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like little children.
Yeah, well, you know.
One lady says, his representative stressed, Busey was on his private property, but he was in full view of the public while wearing a T-shirt that referenced Point Break in which he played an FBI agent. Busey was filmed sitting on a bench at a lookout point where he sat down, took out his phone, then pulled down his trousers. He stuck one hand down the front of his privates, appeared to clench his jaw and look around, apparently to check if anybody was watching him. Busey then lit a cigar and looked at the ocean for around half an hour before he got back in his car and then he left the park. The actor denied allegation he groped two women at a convention earlier this month. He is facing two charges of criminal sexual contact, one of criminal attempt or criminal sexual contact, another of harassment, resulting from claims he touched two fans inappropriately at a Monster Mania event. There are guys like that they just don't know what they're doing, you know? I have seen guys, actually, have you ever seen guys that you talk to, and when you're talking to them, they put their hand down their pants like there was nothing, and they're scratching themselves and everything, and they're still carrying on a conversation? Have you ever seen that? I have seen that many times. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're spitting tobacco, too. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't necessarily, in and of itself, it doesn't necessarily prove it. I mean, look, if he's pretty much thinking he's in an area where he's by himself in the park and nobody else is around. Well, clearly there's no, you can't make a case that, you know, indecent exposure involves an element of the intent to arouse a prurient interest in someone else. So if he's,
right.
If he's acting as though he's alone, nobody else seems to be around, you can't accuse
right.
him. I mean, I can't make a very good case of that.
Right. There's a lot of cases where women, and you know, I notice this about women than I do men. Women tend to want to have sex in public and want to be caught. Men are the ones that says, no, let's not do this because I want to protect your body. And women seem to have this dangerous thing, let's have sex in public. Now, why can't you have sex in public by yourself if nobody's around? If nobody's around, then it didn't happen. But you got your TMZ in the bushes, and you got your other thing, because he's a celebrity, that says, okay, I see what you're doing, and you put your hand in your crotch, and you clench your jaw, we know what you're doing, and then you left. No harm, no foul. I don't know.
Brian, you can't have sexual intercourse, because the word is intercourse, you can't have sexual intercourse when someone of the opposite sex is there. I don't know what homosexuals do, and I don't know what you can do with yourself, but it's like sexual intercourse. It can't be sexual intercourse unless you got someone of the opposite sex there. I mean, logically, I know we throw logic out the window these days in order to promote agendas, but I like to be logical. You know, I mean, I can't help myself. I'm rational. I just can't help it.
Well, we're going to,
wait a minute, isn't the word sexual intercourse? Sexual intercourse would be what homosexuals do.
Intercourse is what the homosexuals? Yeah.
Yeah. I can have sexual intercourse with someone of the same sex. Is the prefix.
Well, they are entering the ass, though. I mean, if you want to be technical, inter.
Okay, that's
E-N-T-R.
That's inter.
Yeah, I know, but.
But not I-N-T-E-R.
But the ass, I understand. But if you, but you know, if you really think about that act for a minute, and you really look at it, like I'm from an alien, I'm coming to Earth, and I'm looking at you guys, and if I'm an alien, and I'm seeing a guy doing anal with a woman, and then I see a guy doing anal with a guy, and it's still in the butt. So is anal a homosexual act, or is it just sex act?
It's an act of sodomy, Brian. Whether heterosexuals or homosexuals do it, it's still sodomy. And we have that's why we got these words. They have meanings, Brian.
Well, why is sodomy
fellatio
bad?
And fellatio and anal intercourse, whether you do it with a man or a woman, is still sodomy.
Right. It's still sodomy.
Okay?
I understand.
Sodomy. That's it. It's sexual intercourse can only be done with the sexual organs of different sexes.
I see.
There's no other way to do it. That's it. End of story. That is the only way sexual intercourse can be performed.
All right. Let's go to our sexual.
Anybody wants to tell me things different? Hey, you just adopting illogic. You just want to redefine things that have no accepted meaning.
I agree. Well, let's go to our sexual professional, Mr. King. Mr. King, how often have you had anal sex? Mr. King,
never.
Really? Never?
Yep.
You know what? Me either. Me either. No, seriously. I thought I was the only one on the planet. I have no interest. Now, Mr. Sarge, in your lifetime, you're in the military, so you're a little bit of...
The thing is a Tango Mike India. Too much information. But I will speak on it. I will speak on it objectively. You know, as a matter of social interest or social commentary or cultural whatever. Look, the anal sphincter is simply not a proper route for sexual activity because its membranes and its openings are subject to absorption of pathogens.
Yes.
In fact, if you got to think of the least likely avenue of approach, at least unless you're wearing some sort of prophylactic condom kind of thing, I can't think of a worse place to do it. I mean, it's just too risky for both individuals. And then you stop to think
I think it's more punishment.
You know, but
I think
Brian,
when people
it's literally designed for the purpose. It's alkali. It kills a lot of, you know, germs and viruses. Not all of them, of course, but the very nature of its existence is designed for the purpose by Mother Nature and the God, the Creator, if you want, okay? I mean, why would you want to use that with this elimination of stuff your body no longer needs? In fact, it's toxic. It stays. I never could understand the attraction to it. Never.
I don't think so. I think men do that for punishment.
It seems like a degrading thing to do to somebody, don't you think? Don't you really think it's kind of degrading? I think it should be
a special occasion where you can do anal, but women have to prepare themselves for the anal itch, because it's not meant. God did not meant us to do that. I think that's the devil's playground.
It's not designed for the purpose, man. I mean, it literally is the damage that could potentially be done to it. It just seems to me to be, you know, I mean, look, it's just, I'm just thinking from a practical standpoint. Let's leave aside any moral implications. And, you know, I know these days that's increasingly dangerous because people are doing that all the time to our detriment when we do it. We can see the results of it all around us. But let's just leave aside the moral implications for a minute. Let's just take a look at the sheer physical ramifications of it all. And it seems to be so illogical and potentially destructive. I mean, it'd be like, it's kind of like sitting there and saying, okay, let's have a game where we knock each other's teeth out or something.
Exactly.
Not that bad, but, you know, it's kind of in that league. You need your teeth.
I agree.
You need a healthy sphincter muscle.
I know, but how did we get there? Why can't we just be good missionaries and stay in the position and stay in our lane and say enough is enough? Why do we need this silly
remember,
stuff?
You don't have to be a missionary.
It's a circus.
To use the venue nature designed for the purpose, you don't have to do it just missionary. Like you said, there's like 140-some positions that thing could be, that object, that organ can be used with. And none of them involved the missionary position. And it was literally designed for the purpose. I mean, everything fits just right. You know, I mean, I swear, you would literally think Mother Nature made it for that purpose, wouldn't you?
I know. And what's with the finger in the butthole? What was the pokey? Have you ever been with a woman and all of a sudden the finger goes up the butt? What's going on with that? It's not like you're a popsicle. What the hell?
Wait a minute. But wait a minute, I can kind of understand rimming and stuff like that because there are nerve endings around there that can be properly stimulated. It can be rather pleasurable. I can understand it. I mean, it's like foreplay. You know, like you touch other parts of the body. You know, like your neck, the back, your back, the buttocks and everything else. And, you know, that area's got nerve endings that can be stimulated properly with proper, you know, manipulation. And I can understand that can be pleasurable. Okay, that's different, though. You know, you're kind of around the outside surface. You're not really going way down in there and risking damage. You know, it's about the rim. You know, the rim. They call it like a rim job, you know?
I understand. It's just, how do we get all crazy?
That makes a kind of sense, but only as foreplay.
I see. But, you know, it's funny. I have on Twitter an enormous amount, and I do mean enormous amount, of people, over 50. I counted them. These are independent authors, and I will start interviewing them. They're women, and they're writing erotica. And a lot of these women, they're gorgeous women. They're smart women. They're intelligent women. They're women who empowered their own sexuality, which I love. And to get into their heads as they do their erotica writing is just extraordinary. And I'm going to be interviewing them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one of their stories and do a play out of it and cast people to do the story. Isn't that going to be interesting?
I'm just curious, Brian. Is any one of them running for governor of the state of Georgia by any chance?
I don't know. You behave yourself.
Because I'm telling you, I've seen some of the examples of that, of one candidate's literature, and it's really rather steamy.
Yeah. They are. They're very steamy.
Get her and ask her, you know, read a few excerpts from her books, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have our story. I usually do the transition, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of Meghan Markle. Our main story is, are you connected to your sexual energy? Is your sexual energy as woke? I mean, that's our main story. But our main story is Dakota Johnson. There's a reason she signed up as an actress to film 50 Shades of Grey. But when she got there, she was talking about her sexuality was open, and she wanted to really do this. She was a big fan of the author. But when she actually got into the film, shit happened and kind of changed her mind and went to the dark side. We're going to get into that. That's our main story. But I just want to do a side story with Meghan Markle. You know, you have to look. I mean, people, I don't understand. I think she's some people would call her abomination. She's done something that no woman has ever done. I mean, just the magnitude. People don't understand what she's done. This woman, Meghan Markle. You don't understand what she's done. She has taken hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition and the British Empire and England and kings and stories and legends. She has done this. And this black woman from Inglewood has taken a prince out of England. A prince, for God's sake. A black woman with a prince. I mean, people really don't understand the powerfulness of this and what this woman has done. I mean, if you really think about it, it blows your mind to think about the history of England and the kings and the queens and what England did back in the ADs and the, 1700s, 1600s, 1400s. King Arthur, well, okay, that was a thing, but King Henry VIII and all these people. And it took a black woman. It wasn't like all these little white girls were saying, I'm waiting for my prince to come. It took a black woman to make the prince come, and he went to Inglewood. I mean, it's because...
Okay. Brian, before... Brian,
come on.
I completely agree with you about the enormity of what Meghan Markle's presence in the royal family has done to the traditions of the royal family in England. Now, you understand, since I am an American, I mean, a natural-born citizen of the United States and a stone constitutionalist, I utterly reject the divine right of kings notion that we got rid of in the 18th century. Fine. I'm glad that the United States rejected that. But let's face it. What Meghan Markle is doing fits generally with this cultural Marxist notion of just upending everything without anything adequate to replace it. She's a perfect example of a dumbass airhead who has no respect whatsoever for traditions developed over centuries. You know, the English kingdom and the idea of the English sovereign was started with King Albert. Okay, he was the first true king of England to unite the part of England that became, you know, the United Kingdom, you know, because, you know, the United Kingdom is England, Wales, and Scotland, you know. But that part of it was King Albert. It goes all the way back to then, like, you know, the 9th century? Okay, so her upending it with nothing to really replace it, I mean, it's just typical of this irritating trend, the cultural Marxism that all these dummies celebrate today. You know, yeah, there's a lot of things about the royals and all that I don't like, the elitism and all that crapola,
right.
Your Majesty, Your Grace, and all that. But I understand what it meant for England to become the great nation it did become. It was a step on the way to them becoming what they became. And, by the way, to helping create the United States. So when I hear some, when I hear people saying just celebrate Meghan Markle, she's upending everything. No, I ain't all that impressed. I'm really not. She's an airhead. She's a narcissist. She's self-absorbed. She's oblivious. I ain't impressed by her, not in the least.
Yeah,
I'm much more impressed by Queen Elizabeth, and I ain't all that crazy about her.
but what she
so, I mean,
did,
I'm just
you
saying, look, I'm just saying, man, like, you know, like. Look, okay, I get it. Yeah, she's up there. Yeah, she's bulling the china shop. She's breaking everything up. Yeah, well, who's going to clean it up?
Yeah. Well,
no, I ain't impressed, man. I'm really not. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the dumbest thing they did was let her ass in the royal family. They should have exiled Prince Harry and let him marry the dame and put him out the royal family.
In the old days, they would have just kept her as a lover. They would have said, you would have lose everything, keep her as a lover,
man,
put her in the basement, or a mate.
Liberal, man, Jesus Christ, I can't stand this dummy just opening her mouth and just spitting liberal bromides and tropes. It's just maddening. I can't deal with it. and it's unchallengeable. You can't. Better not challenge her because you're a sexist, a homophobe, a climate denier, whatever.
Yeah.
Man, it's so tiresome. Don't you think it's a little bit tiresome?
I do, but again, it's a phenomenon what she did. She just stopped every tradition for hundreds and hundreds of years, what she has done to the British Empire.
Is that necessarily a good thing?
But it took a black. But you know what I'm trying to say is a lot of these black women, right now will talk about slavery, and you hear these black women saying it's woke, and these black women always talking about we need this, and we're not registered, and you don't like us, and we're not part of this, and we demand more respect. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You just had a black woman who basically destroyed tradition for hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
Don't you find this unfocused attitude of grievance a bit unseemly? Because I do.
I do. I'm
not a grievance because they didn't include me. I mean, why these people get off with this self-absorption?
Well, going with self on that theme, she has a new podcast out, Meghan Markle. Now, she wanted to be left alone. Okay.
Oh, no, she doesn't.
But now she's... well, I want you to listen to her podcast. Tell me what you think. Here it is. It's only like 3 seconds of it. Listen.
Okay, let me say this, man. Look, Brian.
Archetypes podcast debuts to mixed reviews by Guy Martin. It's been a while since we've heard anything substantive from Meghan Markle. Aside from the extended televised interview she gave her friend and all-media mentor Oprah Winfrey in March 2021. Aside from Prince Harry's brief appearance on Spotify's Dax Shepard podcast in May 2021. Mr. Shepard being a married-in to actress Kristen Bell, sort of celebrity bro to Harry in addition to a fraternal Spotify stablemate. There's actually been little to no production value on Spotify coming from either of the Windsors of Montecito, and that in return for a contract reportedly worth some $15 million to minus $18 million. The three-year...
All right. I don't know what kind of voice that is. They're having this AI verse, or I guess they paid her $15 million to do the podcast. I don't know. Here's the copy. It says here, it's been a while since we heard anything from Meghan Markle. Okay, you heard that. Blah, 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 blah. Mr. Shepard being a married-in to actress Kristen Bell. Sort of celebrity, blah, 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 blah. The Windsors of Montecito in return for a contract reportedly worth $15 million to $18 million. The three-year contract was reported as having inked in December. So they paid her $15 million to $18 million to do the podcast. Well, they have to make a living. Now have Mrs. Markle's first ever podcast, an intimate, really obligatory, star-studded chat with her best friend, Serena Williams. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Whatever position we might take on, who's going to listen to her?
Either this woman is a duchess, and by requirement, a British citizen royal, who now expects her just Archie and Lilibet to be crowned prince and princess, or she's a left socialist American public politician. She's forsworn loyalty to a foreign nation, including acceptance of all the titles that foreign nation gave her. Or she's a capitalism-embracing entrepreneur. Or she's an America for privacy and a simple life raising chickens. Yeah, overwhelmed by a second child. I mean, considering that, you know, most people, by the time they hit the age of 40, they're kind of settled, this gets kind of confusing, don't you think?
I
find her one of the most tiresome so-called celebrities in public life today. They should have made Prince Harry abdicate the day he decided to marry that nut.
Hey, you know what? But she's beautiful, though. She is beautiful. You cannot deny it. She's really beautiful. I don't know. They're giving it one star in England. It's one of these, you know, she's still going to, I'll tell you why this podcast is going to not be good. First of all, you're not going to be salacious. You're going to be PC all the time because you're still part of, even though you the pomp and circumstance, whatever it is in England, you're still part of the royal family. You're not going to embarrass them anymore. You're not going to disgrace them because you know that the people in England are going to attack the royal family if you do some crappy stuff, you know? So you're going to be, it's going to be a clinical kind of chat. Not gonna work. Not in the U.S. That's all I have.
Yeah,
to say.
Look, openly, she belongs up there. She's up there. Anybody who's lionized and idolized by Oprah Winfrey automatically gets a no in my book. Automatic, it's like automatic.
I agree with you too. I agree with you.
Right there.
That's
my barometer for telling the worth of anybody, the true worth of anybody, whether or not Oprah Winfrey lionizes and idolizes them. And she definitely is that. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah Winfrey and Joy Behar and all them other harridans, I know right away. That's a sure sign that she ain't my kind of person.
Yeah. I agree. I agree 100% with you. I don't know. Did you ever, I don't know where you are. Did you see, no, I won't even say it. If we have time, I'll say it. But, yeah, I'm with you, too. The Oprah Winfrey thing. And J.J. Barr. Yeah, the View kind of women. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. And like I said, man, look, you know, for all the faults of the family, after all, right now this is a constitutional monarchy. The only real power that the Queen has is convening Parliament and, accepting the Prime Minister. And, yes, he's a figurehead constitutional monarch, true. But, you know, the reason we got a United States is because it was an empire of Great Britain, okay? That's the reason we got the United States, and I'm kind of happy with the United States. So in order to get the United States, where we live now, we had to have a Great Britain, and we had to have what it created, and we had to have all good and for bad, had to have it all. And part of those traditions, the king and queen and country, are one of the things that made Great Britain what it is. That's what enabled the British people to coalesce around becoming a nation.
Mm-hmm.
With King Albert was the first one in the line of succession, real British kings, and everything evolved from there. So for everybody to say, let's just check it out, and its traditions don't mean anything, even though it was critical to creating Great Britain, it's just cultural Marxism. I think cultural Marxism is one of the most destructive forces in the world today. I don't think anything good is going to come by. I think whatever cultural Marxism replaces, if it succeeds totally, will be infinitely worse than what it replaces. That's what I believe.
It could be.
And make
but
it's a sign. It's just a sign of cultural Marxism. Just another one of the hundreds of thousands of signs we get all around us.
Well, here's what conservative radio, and they do agree with you, here's what conservative radio says. It's only 5 minutes. It says she plays this woke victim, Meghan Markle's podcast. And here's what conservative radio is saying about her podcast. Bear with me. It's only 5 minutes. Here we go.
Media spotlight. That is, of course, if you excuse the book deal, the Silicon Valley startups, the $100 million deal with Netflix, and the regular trips to Europe. We've barely seen or heard from them at all until now. Because my friends are mere 20 months since pocketing 18 million quid from Spotify, yeah, I know you can't pay your bills, the first episode of Meghan's not at all anticipated podcast series, Archetypes, was released today, and in a rare moment of introspection, Meghan says that marrying Prince Harry made her feel the negative connotation of the word ambition, whatever that means. She also compares notes on her shared roots with tennis star Serena Williams. If you must, have a listen.
So I don't ever remember personally feeling the negative connotation behind the word ambitious until I started dating my now husband. And apparently ambition is a terrible, terrible thing for a woman, that is. According to some.
This morning, I was saying to Harry, I said, do you remember one of those...
I'm the one for the record.
I was about to say, when they said, Harry's girl is straight out of Compton. I was like, are they talking about Serena? I'm not... I'm,
you know,
You love a redhead. I'm like, I'm not from Compton. I've never lived in Compton. My mom doesn't live in Compton. But by the way, what's wrong with Compton? My girl Serena's from there.
I know. Like, wait a minute.
Now to discuss this, I'm joined by playwright and author Bonnie Gurren, socialite and aristocrat Lady Victoria Harvey. Let's start in California. Victoria, welcome to the show. Is this
Hello.
A dig to the royal family saying marrying Harry, what was it, created negative connotations of her ambition? What does she mean?
I mean, yes, she is definitely playing that card again and opening up that door again to possibly be talking more about the royal family and her personal experiences. I think she just likes to blame other people, and it's this whole sort of woke victim playing card that she does a lot, which she then puts on to, you know, Serena during this. And I don't know, I find that the whole interview, she's almost trying to mirror Oprah in certain ways, the way she talks to her. It's a little condescending, especially when she talks about her roots.
Bonnie,
yes,
I know you're going to disagree violently. Is this just, it's all about victimhood.
Oh,
see, this is what I thought, right? I absolutely supported them in saying, I don't want to be in the media spotlight. I want to go and live my life. But when you land and you sign a $118 million deal or whatever it is.
It didn't seem lucky. Well, I mean, that's incredible. You should be celebrating this. Why are you sitting here complaining about it? It's a good
thing. You're not even letting me speak. It might be
a good thing,
but she's making money from the very thing that she said forced her out of this country, and then she's using the royal family to flag them off to make the money and the people appreciate it.
If we don't listen to it, we won't hear it, will we? You're promoting her.
Very true point.
Okay.
Very true point. Yeah, very true.
Next.
Do you think she's been unfairly treated by the royal family?
I don't know. I have no idea. Can I say something like that?
Of course.
I have no idea. And you don't
either.
We
can't say
do you
that.
Think she had a plan all along, Bonnie?
A plan to do what?
Take Prince Harry from the arms of the royal family, rise from being a Z-list celebrity to a lot more. Do you think she planned the whole thing in her head?
Well, how insulting to Harry.
I'm just... A very good point,
How insulting? I mean, seriously, this is a grown man. He fell in love with her, obviously. You fell in love with your wife.
I do. Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. That's
it. But you don't think there's anything about Meghan that is, and I think a lot of people in this country feel this. They feel, I actually think people in this country were very excited, and then they felt let down by them both. Do you understand that?
No, I don't feel it. I mean, first of all, she's a grown woman. She's a Californian, and Lady Victoria knows California.
Yep.
She acted exactly as she should act.
So you're not surprised by what happened?
What happened?
In terms of the fact that they quit the royal family and went to America.
Well, she's a grown-up.
I think it's
and they should have actually allowed her to do her thing. And as you said, she was a very good thing on paper and, in fact, for this country and for the royal family. It was a coup.
The beauty of life is I don't actually agree with that at all, but there you go. Lady Victoria, what do you say?
Yeah.
Is it all about victimhood? What's going on?
I kind of agree with Bonnie that I think it was quite a calculated move with Meghan. I think she, you know, set her sights on Harry from the beginning. He was very vulnerable, you know, from his childhood, and she latched onto that.
Oh, jump in.
Victoria, no, with respect.
Yeah.
We do know everything about Harry, you know, because he's been a public figure. But how can we sit here and psychoanalyze this guy? I mean, that's wrong. That's literally wrong.
No, but
wrong.
I think that is the way he...
She's already saying women are predators. She set her sight on this poor little victim, Harry, and he couldn't get away from this woman beast. She said once she set her sights on him, he was gone. He didn't have a chance. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
By the way, I'd like to correct myself. I realize that says something that was an error, and I don't like to make historical error. I meant King Alfred the Great, not King Albert, so excuse me. Alfred the Great. Yeah, that's
there you go.
I mean, that's the first real king of England. That's like back in the 9th century. So from that time to this, the monarchy has been very important to the British people. Now, I'm glad we don't have it here, but it was important to them. And to denigrate it is, like you put it, a very significant act. And the question is it a good thing for the nation of Great Britain and the United Kingdom? Is it or isn't it? And I don't think it is.
No.
I really don't.
No. sometimes tradition and legends keep the tourist dollars flowing. People don't like change.
It's important for a nation to have legends to believe in, even if there's some BS to a lot of. It's still important.
Right. It is. People don't like change. You know, they like tradition. They like the familiarity. They don't like big change. I mean, they have a black face, and there's nothing wrong saying it. Have a black face. That's like having a white face and the king of Yawanda, a white girl with the king of, and she's the queen of Yawanda. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having a black woman in the royal family if she comports herself with dignity and the kind of bearing that the British
right.
people come to expect from their monarchs. I mean, Queen Elizabeth, whatever you might think of her in public, the way she comports herself like a monarch is expected to. I mean,
yeah.
when World War II came along, she gave up all the trappings of monarchy, and she served as a mechanic in the because that was
true.
Expected of her.
Very
I mean,
true.
She
very true.
She followed orders like anybody else. She was commissioned
true.
Officer, of course, but she still had to follow orders from her superiors and everything else. By all accounts,
that's right.
She did a good job of it.
That's
now,
right.
Now, I mean, and people, and the way she comports herself is the way people expect their monarch to do so. No one has any complaints about Queen Elizabeth's behavior as she does fulfills the expectations of the office she holds. And that's
true.
A big deal with people in Britain. It ain't not with me, because like I said, I don't believe in the divine right of kings. I believe in the Declaration
right.
and the Constitution. But I'm not a British subject. The word there is subject. They're British subjects.
True.
I'm an American citizen.
True.
That's why I look at it the way I do. But I understand it for them.
Right. Well, I understand, and that's why we're going to make our transition from what you said, because I got to finish this. And I'm glad you're here, Sarge, and King will be back. I'm hoping he'll be back. He has to do something. And this is where I'm asking women, because I do need some help here, and women. Bottom line, here's the number, 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio, 319-527-6099. I started off the show saying that me and my friend, John, we went to a movie, and it started to excite these women. Women were cool back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And when I say they were cool, they empowered themselves. If you touch them, they punch you in the face or kick you in the balls. That's just the rule. Guys knew not to touch, grope some girl. If you pinch her on the butt, she's going to turn around and smack you. That's the rule. We didn't do it because we didn't want to get hurt. Nowadays, these women, if you touch them or grope them, you can go to jail for that. It's a criminal assault or go to civil court and lose everything you have. It's a criminal act. When did we start criminalizing or weaponizing a girl's body? She weaponized it. We didn't weaponize our body. We're running around wearing no underwear, hoping some girl touch her junk. But women have weaponized their bodies. It's a known fact. We go with Dakota Johnson here, our main story. Here's the title. Dakota Johnson says no one would ever filmed 50 Shades if they knew what the set drama entailed. I was saying, back at 50 Shades of Grey, women used to have parties, and women used to giggle, and they talked, and they didn't take it so seriously. They giggled. They had S&M parties, B&D parties, IOU parties, and swack that penis parties. Women joked. They laughed. They had fun. They didn't take it so seriously. And I don't know what happened. 7 years after the, and so here we go. Here's Dakota Johnson. 7 years, she was the star of 50 Shades. 7 years after the first 50 Shades of Grey movie came out, Dakota Johnson is speaking out. She's speaking out about her experience filming the franchise, what it was really like in the latest issue of Vanity Fair. She wrote it was in there. But first, it's worth noting that Dakota refers to 50 Shades as those big naked movies. And to that, I say, don't we all? Whatever. In the cover story, Dakota says the main reason she took the role of Anastasia Steele is because she is a sexual person. It's so hot to have women being horny. Now, there is a secret. Women do get horny. There are horny women all around us. They walk among us. They walk around with no underwear. They rub against their fruit counters in the market. They're horny women. They're horny, horny, honey. They're like little bees. They're buzzing around horny, but we don't know they're horny. That's the secret. So we have to have very subtle hints to know that you're horny. Usually the hint is, I don't know the hints, because you can't even get the hints anymore, because if you read the wrong hints, you find yourself in jail. It used to be the old days, they flirt at you, they batted their ash eyes at you, they looked over their shoulder to see if you're looking at their butt. You know, these are little, and then they do the smile. These are hints that a woman is interested. Now, I don't know what it is. But here it goes. She's saying that she's a sexual person and she's a hot chick. We love hearing that. Yes, yay, she's horny. And she did the movie because she was exploring her sexual inhibitions. Yay for her. She said, because she's a sexual person, she wanted to explore the themes that the author E.L. James masterfully crafted in the original book series, but none of that really was going to happen. I signed up to do a very different version of the film we ended up making. That's what Dakota said. She named the studio director and E.L. James, whose real name is Erica, as the reason. Erica had a lot of creative control all day, every day, and she just demanded that certain things happen, explained Dakota. There were parts of the book that just wouldn't work in the movie, like the inner monologue, which was at times incredibly cheesy. It wouldn't work to say it out loud. It was always a battle, always. She later confirmed, we'll do these takes of the movie that Erica wanted to make, and then we'll do the takes of the movie that we wanted to make. See, here's the thing. Never have the author on a set. Nobody likes it. Stephen King said the same thing. He will never do another book that's going to turn into the movie. They hate it. There's two different versions of it. As the author, and they just don't understand what production does. Because like Dakota was saying, if they use the real words of an author in a book, it wouldn't work on film. It's just too cheesy. So they have to use on film, it has to be more creative. Whatever. Dakota also mentioned that there were a lot of different disagreements, and the filming process became something crazy and was tricky, especially after her original co-star Charlie Hunnam dropped out due to a scheduling conflict. He was replaced by Jamie Dornan. But ultimately, Dakota is proud of what we made and has no regrets for the most part. If I had known at the time that this what was going on and what was going to be like, I don't think I would have done it, she said. It would have been like, oh, this is psychotic, but no, I don't regret it. Overall, though, Dakota says the experience was pretty damn good, but still interesting. Jamie and I were treated really well, she said. Erica is a very nice woman, and she was always kind to me, and I am grateful she wanted me to be in those movies. It was great for our career, so amazingly, so lucky, but it was weird, just so, so weird. Okay, that was Dakota talking about doing 50 Shades of Grey. Now, Grey, I didn't see the movie. Grey, I guess Grey was the name of the guy in the movie, 50 Shades. Is his name, was that his name, Grey? I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. Here's the trailer of it. Here's the trailer of it. I think his name is Grey. Here we go. This part is 50 Shades of Grey, Punish Me. Now, see, if you punish a woman nowadays, you can lose your whole career. That's it. You just don't know who to punish, who not to punish. But here's a scene of 50 Shades of Grey. And here we go. But they're giving us a bad example of what women really want. But women seem to go for this. Here we go.
I'm so sad. Everything you play is so sad. You said you were six when you learned. Was it because you wanted to please your new family? just want to talk. Why won't you let me in? We should be talking.
Like normal people?
Yeah. Is that so wrong?
Boring. See, the dialogue is boring and it's stupid. It's boring and stupid.
Brian,
yes.
Dakota Johnson, I don't know, are you familiar with Jane Austen?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, Netflix did an updated version of Persuasion, which is one of her more famous novels, and Dakota Johnson was in it. And the dialogue in it was modernized. Like, they never used dialogue like that in the early 19th century. And mm-hmm. they got to use words like that. She's talking about X's and moving on. They never used that kind of dialogue in the 19th century. And then Lady Russell was like a confidant. They make that her a black woman. And it's just a woke mess.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
It's a woke mess. I mean, it's like with almost everyone these days. I mean, look, I'm not particularly a Jane Austen fan, but I got respect for her and the people who like her. And, you know, I think wokeness is almost a cancer when it comes to, you know, interpreting works of literature, particularly from the past. I just don't know
what woke is about.
It totally ruins the spirit in which it was written.
Yeah.
With a few exceptions, but for the most part, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't. It doesn't really work. Okay, well, here's another. Wait a minute. Stay with me because I'm going to make a point. Here's another point. This one says, let me touch you, 50 Shades of Grey. Here we go. Let me touch you.
It's a great apartment, and the rent's not ridiculous. Elliot and Jose helped us move in. Jose is Anna's friend, although I think that Elliot's trying to poach him. They're quite the bromance.
He's a cool guy. Anna, where is your family from?
My stepfather lives in Montesano, and my mom's in Georgia.
Georgia?
Boring.
Which part?
Savannah.
How nice.
I do hear it gets rather humid in Georgia at this time of year.
Oh, my God, it does. It's stifling sometimes. Actually, I'm going to visit her tomorrow.
How nice.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that, Christian? Some children do visit their parents now and again.
Hey, Dad, you catch the Mariners game? I heard it went to X-ray.
Oh, Seattle baseball. See, I can't tell someone to convince
me. This is news to me. I don't know what you said, but it didn't sound like going.
What are you going to tell me?
Who wants coffee?
Actually, I promised Anna a tour of the grounds. Excuse us.
Walk that fast in these shoes. Oh!
When are we going to tell me about Georgia?
What? You have no right to be mad.
Yeah, but I am mad. Palm twitchingly mad.
Ow!
You're mine. All mine. You understand?
Christian, you are so confusing. What do you want? What do you want?
I want you.
I'm trying, Christian.
I know you are.
Why can't we sleep in the same bed? Why won't you let me touch you? Why does it have to be like this?
Boring! You know, that's what we do. When guys talk, we should let music play. Shut up. Boring. Shut up. Shut up. This is not what we want. See, this is the movie. This is without you looking at it. This is the dialogue. I can't take it anymore. I can't. What about you, Sarge? 50 Shades of Boring. What do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think
man,
of that dialogue?
I can't.
I can't.
I swear to God, man, I go into a hypnotic trance listening to that. I just zone out after maybe 2, 3, 4 sentences. What?
Right.
My mind is drifting on to something else. I can't
but
even
these
focus
are what,
on it.
But these
I
are
really,
what
I
women...
I can't even focus on it. I'm sorry, I just can't.
I know. Do you realize I put in the top 5 erotic books, and the first book is To Kill a Mockingbird, and I don't know how that's erotic, but anyway.
Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah, I don't. But we don't know what arouses women, though. That's the thing. I don't think women just, I don't know. You know, it used to be pretty simple. But,
well,
you're right.
The
with
most
his woke
representation I've ever seen of the differences between male sexuality is a little funny. I mean, you might have seen it. Male sexuality, it's one switch off and on. And with women, they got a panel with all kind of gauges, dials, rheostats, meters, levers, slides, all kind of things to show the difference between a man's sexuality and a woman's sexuality. I think it is so true. I think women are every bit as intense, if not more so, than men in their sexuality. But the variegated permutations that their sexuality assumes is infinitely more complex.
I don't know. Sarge, you and I agree on this. I mean, we're men. You know,
on. You're sleeping. Okay, we may not be interested in it, but wake up with a hard on. Okay, what's up with that? Wake up with a hard on. You dreamed and everything to do with sex, and you wake up, you got a hard on. What's that? It's on and on with us. Who knows? Who knows what it is to get their kettle percolating?
I don't know. I don't think they know. I think, you know. They always want more. They think they're missing something.
Oh, they know it when they see it, but they got to have so many filters on they got to remove before they do.
I guess you're right. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, you just got to know your woman and everything and whatever turns her on.
But you get the right one, man, it's all worth it, believe me. Just find the right one. You get the right one, man, it's perfect. I swear to God, when you get the right woman, God, there's nothing better. And the difference is what you actually love. I mean, having a good woman in your life, you are fulfilled by the difference between you and her in so many essential aspects of your being. The biggest difference between human beings is not racial; it is sexual. I mean, and yes, men and women are both human beings, but man, they got that. And so many outlooks on life and interpretations of reality around them, men, women, are just so fundamentally different in so many ways. And I think that's what makes you complete, to have one of each type of personality in your life. The woman needs the male side, the male needs the woman side to be really complete. I'll freely admit that.
Right.
I was much more complete with a good woman in my life than without one.
Really?
She bought things. I just don't have. But having them made me realize how, I didn't have a certain perspective on things that I lacked, and it was important for me to have.
I guess relationship is that, I guess if you had to put sex in the relationship, it would probably not be the number one. I think the number one thing in relationship is, I hate to say it, financial security. Everybody's afraid to be homeless. I would say the second thing is secure. I don't know what a woman wants. Number one would be that sex would have to be number three. There has to be another two before you get to six. That be able to talk, I guess, to communicate would probably be number two. Would you say, Sarge? Before sex, to have a good relationship.
But the majority of women, I think they really need to communicate, because women are much more social as a rule than men are, and men sometimes just shut down. And that was one thing. That was one of the problems I had with my wife, and she got me out of that because, man, she really got pissed when I wouldn't communicate with her. And she opened me up. And she was right.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a big deal with women. But, look, I think women's attitudes toward things are shaped by the fact that they have such relatively short reproductive lives. I mean, that has a lot to do with why they behave the way they do. And we act like it's not important, especially now with the idea that it's more important for a woman to work for a soulless corporation than to raise children. But the fact that women have such relatively short reproductive lives compared to men is a big deal for them. And it shapes, I think, much of their psychological outlook and their outlook on life. I think it's really like genetically part of the of women's outlook. Because, I mean, reproduction is one of the most important aspects of being a human being. That's for all of us.
I guess you're right. I guess as, but, you know, but we change.
And, you know, men are kind of profligate. Let's face it. I mean, you know, hey, even when you're old, you basically retain the capacity to reproduce.
Right. Right.
It's not true with women. And that's. It's understandable why they do much of what they do. They can't afford the kind of foolishness that men can.
But, Serge, do you believe in love? I don't believe in it. I don't think it exists.
Oh, I had it, man. I had it with my wife. I know I did. I know it exists. Every day
now,
of my life.
Now, do you have it with your new wife? I mean, your new girlfriend. Do you have that love?
I got something like it. Yeah, I
got
something
like
it.
So you think
if it lasts long enough, I'm pretty sure it'll get there.
Yeah. So do you believe in love and first sight? That you can, I mean, it's ridiculous. Love at first sight is you're looking at her titties and her ass.
I believe
that's
in love at first sight, but I don't know about love.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
there's also love at first sight. I mean, if she had a good camel toe, I mean, that's a date. I mean, there's no such thing as love.
That certainly is the same thing as love, which is enduring.
Exactly. I don't know. What's your thing on love? What is love to you, Sarge? You're a good man, and you're a man. You're not these sissy men out there, or these pussy men that are running around. You are a man. So, what is your version of in love? And what is love?
I think love is enduring. Love is enduring through times of strife as well as times of good. Love is something that involves the willingness to sacrifice and to make accommodations and to thoroughly commit to as something that is a duty, almost sacred. And you'll know it when you, believe me, you'll know it when you got it. Were you willing to die for this person? Yeah, I know I was willing to die for my wife.
I thought I was the only one who thought that. I thought I was the only one who thought that. You know, when I was a whore, a man whore, which, by the way, I was one of the best man whores around. I should have got the man whore award, but this other guy got it. Anyway. And I didn't catch any diseases or anything because I had the same thought. Would I die for this woman? Meaning that, you know, she could give me herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, for Christ's sake. Or even worse, pregnancy, you know? So the reason I didn't impregnate any girl or get any diseases is because I had the thinking, would I die for this person? And I said no, and I wrapped it up. But you used it in another context, and I thought I was the only one who thought that.
No, you're not, because that's how much that's like your children. You know, you're going to die for your children? Of course you will, if you have to. Of course you prefer not to, but if you have to.
Right.
Like it's a grizzly bear charge, and the only way you can hold that grizzly bear is put yourself up there to get mauled to death and eaten by the grizzly bear while the loved ones get away. That's the way I look at it. Am I willing to sacrifice myself to the grizzly bear so my loved ones can escape? And I know I felt that way with my children, and I felt that way about my wife. Yes. I knew it.
Really?
And that's really love. Love is the idea that you're so perfectly compatible with the person you're with. that you never have arguments, you agree about everything. No,
right.
I found out what really made it endure was your ability to resolve the disagreements you have. So no
yes.
one's really a loser. Neither party's
right.
really a loser. Because there's going to be all kinds
right.
of things you're not going to agree about, some big, some small. But in every effort, in every, you have a pre-planned agreement, then we have a disagreement, these are the steps we're going to take to resolve it. And we're going to do our very best to stick to this as a matter of principle and honor between the two of us. And that's what minimize these conflicts, because conflicts are going to come. I think it's really crazy to think you're going to meet an adult human being who hasn't formulated a life vision that is at odds with yours in many respects. Now, you probably are going to have more in common than not, but you're certainly going to have a lot of things that you're going to be significantly differentiated about. And the key is, how do you resolve those things? That's more important than have a lot of things in common, I think, in the ultimate, in the final analysis. How do you resolve your conflicts? Conflict resolution between a couple in an intimate relationship is probably the most important skill they can possess.
You know, I had to learn the art of fighting and not fighting. It's going to sound weird. When I was younger, when I got in fight, when I say argument, let's call arguments, I have never laid a hand on a woman. I wanted to punch the living daylights out of one. Trust me. Trust me. I wanted to go Mike Tyson and you would not, but I never did, because there's some cycles I actually went out with, and they wanted you to do that. They push you and they hit you. You know what I mean? I had to learn how to duck and dive most of the time because I was attracted to cycles. But what I'm trying to say is I had to learn how to fight differently. Just one second. I want to let this beautiful lady come in. Hello, Melissa. Hello, beautiful.
Good morning. Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's my bottom woman doing? How you doing, baby?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to hear you. What did you call me, a bottom woman?
Babe.
Yeah,
because,
like,
no.
Foundation, you know.
Gave you a compliment.
Yeah,
okay.
That's foundation,
pretty,
you know, the foundation, you know.
Oh,
the floor.
Oh,
foundation
oh.
holds everything
thank
up.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. That
wow.
is a compliment. What a nice
it
guy
is.
You've got in him. He's a great
he
guy.
Is. But, you know, I had to learn this, seriously, that when I got angry, words hurt. Guys don't really understand that. Don't
they hurt worse.
Cause, yeah, because when I used to argue younger, I used to tear them, rip them apart with the words, man. It just rip their souls apart when you're just angry. And I had to learn not to do that. I mean, you can really destroy a person with words. So you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I guess that's not love. It's, I guess the love that Sarge is talking about is that you would not, even when you're angry, you do not rip a person's heart out or their soul and hurt them really badly during an argument.
True.
How do you do that? I mean,
how
you're mad.
How do you do it or how do you not do it?
Same. How do you, well... I have learned with Cindy that I watch myself. I learned with her, I watch myself, because I don't want to say anything out of just anger, just to hurt her. You know what I mean? I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But the girls before, it was, I guess, people say things that you can't take back, and it could cut like a knife, and they'll remember. They may stay with you for another year or two, but they'll remember those words that you said, and it cut like a knife.
True. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So
worse than any punch, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's worse than any punch whatsoever. Mm. To know that what this person may be thinking of you, it is.
Yeah.
I still start with saying this.
Their frailties, right, to hurt them.
Yeah.
Or what you know and, yeah.
Well,
yep.
You know, My father used to tell me that always have a woman break up with you. He always told me that. And I always remember and I carry that to heart. And I will do that. Mm. And so part of having a woman break up with me was say mean, nasty things that will hurt them, that they would never want to talk to you ever again.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You may not mean them, but you don't want the repercussions of the breakup. And the repercussion of the breakup is like you son of a bitch and they, they scrape your car or they do harm to you or harm to something who you love, you know, stalking and want to hurt you. So you want to say things that they want nothing to do with you. And I have
That's
to learn
cool.
how not to
teach you that.
Huh?
That wasn't cool that he taught you that.
Well, back in the day, you know, men broke up with women, and some of these women, they used to have the lie, they call it the lie treatment. And they wait till you're asleep, and they do things to you. You know, that was real.
Oh, no.
You know? No. And you got to admit, some women are not the best breaker-uppers and say, hey, okay, we had a good time. I'm going on my way. Some women are very vindictive, and they hurt you.
Yeah.
So you want no repercussions of it. And so you say things that they want nothing to do with you ever. And that way you don't have any repercussions of them coming after you. Is that a good philosophy? I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I guess you're right.
Do you want to do that? Boom.
I guess you're right. But going back to this, what love is, so Dakota Johnson came out and says, you know, she wanted to explore her sexuality by doing the movie. She found out that, you know, the story was not what she expected. Here's this woman, and just 2 seconds, and welcome, Melissa, and great to have a beautiful lady's voice on the air. And hello, Oliver. Hello. I'm hoping that you are so young that you don't even remember any of this conversation. Here's the first 30 seconds of a woman. She says, how I use my orgasm to manifest. Listen to this. I think I have it. And I don't know what that means. And I should have it, but I don't have it. And this is a young woman. Here we go. Nope. Yep. And no. Really? Okay. That ain't happening. And I had it queued up, too. Okay, here's another woman. Let's see if this works. Why am I not hearing sound in any of these? My sound is not...
Thank you guys so much for being here. I'm so excited to be filming today. And
empowerment lately.
Just kind of showers the body, especially in these winter months of New York where...
Here we go. How I use my orgasm to manifest.
Hello, beautiful earthling. I am so grateful that we can come together at this moment in time. Hello, beautiful earthling. I am so grateful that we can come together at this moment in time and share some energy, share some wisdom. I'm really excited to open up this conversation about sex and sexuality and masturbation and spirituality and how everything just intertwines because everything is so intricately connected. I have really been so connected to my sexual energy lately, and it has been such a source of strength and healing for me and empowerment lately and connection to my body.
Sexual energy, let me translate.
She's horny. Sexual energy. I hate these little cute things that women say. I've been really connected because I've been horny lady. Let's just say what it is. See, guys understand that language. We don't understand spiritual sexual energy. We don't speak that language. We will continue. See, that's the first thing Sartre says, communication. You got to talk to your man. I'm going to tell you, ladies, I know you're looking for a spiritual level. I know you want to orgasm. You're not happy with one orgasm. You'll go in there while you're still tingling, and you want to go for 4 or 5. You want to go for the marathon orgasm. Stop it. Behave yourself. It's not like it's going away. Take the one orgasm and be happy with it. And then you measure your orgasm. Oh, I want it more powerful. This one didn't do it as powerful. The first one was more. Shut up. Stop it. And let me tell you something. And let me tell you something, ladies, and I'm trying to do this. This is Dr. Hammer here. I study. I am a doctor. I looked on the internet, and I did the courses. Let me tell you something. When I was dating, I'm going to tell you a little trick, and I'm going to tell you guys a little trick. When I was dating, I knew I was going to get laid. It was impossible for me not to get laid. I was like 18, 19. I knew. And the trick is all men can get laid. It's impossible not to get laid. All you have to do is there's always a woman out there that'll be happy to do a little sucky and to screw you on cue. You just got to find them and where they are. Normally they're in bars, and normally they're, you know where they are. Parties, you know, you go for your first choice is rejected, your second choice, it's not happening, your third choice is like, okay, it's boring. There's always some woman there who's looking, and they're usually fat and overweight, and they don't feel good about themselves. Those are the ones you key on. Thank you. You'll get laid. So I already knew I was going to with the first, second, third, fourth choices. I knew it. So what you want to do is, I don't even know why I even went into this subject. Except to brag that I could get laid, maybe. And that's a feather in my cap. But I'm just trying to say is that all you have to do is communicate with us. Sarge said the same thing. Communicate with I'm at my sexual spirituality and this. Stop it with that language. Stop it. Stop it. We don't understand what it means. We don't care what it means. You got to dummy it up for us. We're just horny.
Yeah, and you know something? You're not likely to thrive in a relationship where one or both of the parties is always trying to triumph over the other when there's a disagreement. That just leads to acrimony and bitterness in the long run if it's continual and continuous. And I think that's what happens. Remember that crazy movie War of the Roses with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
And I think...
Yeah, very
good
document. That's
a perfect example of the ultimate in a toxic relationship where both sides are seeking to become the king or the queen.
You know, I looked at that movie and I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was my life. I go, oh, that was wrong. I really thought, okay, I thought that was normal. I didn't know what was going on there. But here's the catch 22.
Your partner is essentially an equal in your relationship insofar as the course of the relationship. But, I mean, you may not contribute equally in a physical sense. One might be earning more money than the other or paying more of the bills, or one might be doing more of the work around the house or whatever. But in the sense of your relationship growing and prospering, you accept the fact that your partner is equal, then you can't go around thinking that you got to be the one to triumph in every disagreement every time. That's the surest way to either make the relationship miserable or to wreck it.
Well, I have it's a catch-22. You know, women are stronger. And I believe, and Sarge, if you really want to admit, women control the relationship. Men won't admit that.
So great.
And
extent,
I mean, even if the simplest thing is making love, we don't make love for fun. We make love to please her. We ask her, how did you like it? They measure us. It was almost there. You want to please her. You're not there for yourself. You're there to be the guy. You're there to please her, to make her head explode so she can go, oh, my God, honey, I never felt that before in my life. And she hugs you, and she's sweaty mess. Anything short of that, you have failed, my friend. And this is how guys are taught. So I don't think there's an equal thing in relationship. There's always that one stronger person to the weaker person. And I think women have devised this secret way to think, let men think that they are running the roost, when in reality, it's the woman who is controlling the strings. And it's okay.
Well, you know, it's one thing when there's a natural deference that just follows the course of events based upon the different proclivities of the people involved in the relationship. That's one thing. Yeah, there's a deference, and more often than not, I'll go along with you saying it's the man who's going to defer to the women because of the particular nature of men's psychological outlet as opposed to women's. Okay, get that. I'm talking about where there is an actual dispute about a matter external to relationship or even within the relationship that is not part of that natural course of deference and acceptance. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like whether or not the mother-in-law is going to come and live with you for a while. Okay?
Right.
Things like that. That's what I'm talking about.
And you will cave.
And by the way, the idea that the women kind of control the relationship and the way it goes, that's true. Why do you think the Romans came up with the idea of paterfamilias?
Exactly.
They knew
we
know
this.
We got all over these women.
Right. But we pick women. But it's not that women are naturally built that way or they're controlling people. We seek them out. We want a woman who can be independent, who can take care of finances, who can take care of when you're in trouble. You know, we want that strong-ass woman.
Don't you think men don't mind for the most part? I'm not saying, of course, look, human beings are not cookie cutters, so I'm not saying every man thinks
right.
But most men kind of accept the idea of a natural deference to certain wishes of women. Because
of course.
Men and women are different. Face it, men and women are different. We keep trying to pretend men and women are the same, and they ain't the same. They ain't never going to be the same until human beings undergo a major evolutionary change. So they're different.
Or the transgenders finally emerge and become a real race.
Yeah. The most profound difference among human beings are sexual. They are sexual.
Right.
The difference between the sexes, that's the most profound single difference. So men are going to prefer to women in a lot of things because of the particular nature of the between men and women.
That when they say a happy wife is a happy life, it's true.
Yeah.
It
true.
Is true. You get yourself a very happy, of course, you know, you get yourself a very happy woman, your life is really enriched. It is like, honey, and the heavens are opening
man,
up.
When a woman tells you she's uncomfortable about something, what do most men want to do? How can I fix it?
Exactly. We're fixers. Because women are telling us something's wrong, and we try to fix it. We don't know how to fix it. We didn't go to fix it school.
Exactly.
But we know we got to fix it.
That was the most maddening single thing to me that until I figured it out, why I couldn't figure out why I wasn't communicating with my wife the way I should be, was because I'm always trying to find solutions. I'm solution-oriented. I'm trying to figure out a way to figure out something. She's trying to tell me what she feels about something. And I'm more interested in figuring out, well, how do we fix it? You know?
Yes.
Rather than listening to what she's saying. There's truth to that.
No.
That difference between
men
and women is growth. That is a profound difference. It's probably one of the most irreconcilable things between men and women communicating with each other.
I know. I had the same problem with my girl. She came home one time. And she was in a snit. She was acting cunty. Just a snit. And then I said to her, and with a very fragile voice, shaky voice, okay, is there any? I'm glad I'm not in, because I thought she found out about my porn, and that was the end of my other sexual life. So I'm glad it wasn't about that. So I'm going to her.
Brian, let me give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I was on
another
radio show talking to some women. We're talking about, electrical vehicles and gasoline vehicles and the merits and demerits of both. And we were explaining what you had to do to get the maximum out of your gasoline vehicle with regards to maintenance. And this one woman was talking about a problem, and me and another guy, we were giving her tips on how to make sure it wouldn't happen, the most important things for her to ensure regular maintenance checks and services on, ensure, a good long life from a vehicle and trouble-free existence with it.
Right.
And eventually she got to the point where she said, but you're not taking into account all the problems I got with my children. I can't get the car to a mechanic to leave it because I needed to do blah, 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 blah. And we both said, what the fuck? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, you asking about what it takes to keep a machine running. And it doesn't give a damn about your feeling. Not a bit. But, you know, for her, to hear her say it, that was the most important thing. Not what it took to keep the car running. Because, like, it's a machine. They don't give a damn about her personal problems. If it doesn't have what it needs to keep running, it's going to stop. But for her, was everything. She got angry with us, Brian.
Oh, man.
I'll admit, that may be an extreme example of what I'm talking about, and it is because most women are not that irrational. But it is an example of the extremes to which you can go with regard to women. We're thinking about ways to fix things. Women are thinking about the way, how do I feel about it?
Right.
That's like the
But, you know, most women are playing the vindictive game to us men. They want us to fuck up so they can go after us. They will give us hints about, watch this idiot try to fix it when he's nowhere near what I wanted him to do. But they, some of them will sit back and say, okay, let's just watch this guy do what he needs to do. And he doesn't have a clue of what I want or what I want him to do. I think they do that on purpose. But I had that lesson. My girlfriend, she came home one time. Like I said, she came home like a bear. She, you know, she, it's like she ran over a couple of cats, and she wanted to kick like a bunny, you know, a three-legged bunny, and she was in that kind of mood. And then I asked her what was going on there. She told me it was something at work, and I go, oh, this is an easy fix, and blah, 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 blah. Within 30 seconds, she looked at me like I was crazy. She goes, I'm an educated, grown-ass woman. I go, uh-oh, something went wrong. I'm thinking I did good, right? I'm thinking I get a cookie. She just came out and says, I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm a smart woman. I'm an educated woman. I go, okay, you're giving me your credentials. Something. Somebody's in trouble, and there's only two of us here, and you're only talking to me. I'm going to still listen. And then she says, I know what I can do to fix this. Sometimes I don't need you to fix this. I can fix this myself. I just want to talk about it. I just want you to listen. That's all I want. As far as fixing it, I could do this damn myself. I'm a grown woman. And I go, oh, so that's how the game works. So you just want me to listen. And yeah, she goes,
that's
I don't need
validation,
you to
fix it. Brian.
I guess so. But I'm not wired that way. And she, after I hear her talking, I go, I understand it. And did I learn my lesson? No, because it was 2 days later. Well, this is not working. Well, let me get in there and I'll fix this. She goes, what the hell are you doing? I go, listen to me. This is how men are. Get used to it. You know what I'm trying to say? If we can't fix it, there's no use for us to be around women, right? We got to make things better for them. If we can't do that, then we're just a dildo to the women, and sometimes we cannot be a good dildo.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, aside from being...
The women have
aside,
to understand... Yes.
Aside from wanting to make money and to make things more efficient and better, many of the greatest developments in world history were done in response to the importunings of their women because of some discomfort they were experiencing. And some inventor says, how can I do this to make this my life easier for my
wife? Right.
I mean, you'd be amazed. You all read so many stories about innovation. I had a book on innovation I was reading. And there were about six significant inventions that were done because either the inventor's daughter or the inventor's wife was having a problem with something. He was trying to figure out a way to make it easier for his wife to do something. And it led to a great invention.
What's that?
One was the guy who came up with the washing machine and the dishwasher. and there was a couple, I can't think of what they are right now, but I think the electrical starter motor on an automobile was a friend's response to a man who was trying to start his engine, and it kicked back and it struck him in the skull and killed him. Kettering was the guy's name. He invented the first self-starter in an electric automobile, but also made things easier for women. Let's face it. Women had the most trouble starting the car when they had to hand crank it.
That is true.
That's why a lot of women weren't driving because they didn't want to be bothered with trying to crank the engine over. You had to overcome the compression. Even they were low-compression engines, you still had to turn it over hard enough to get the pistons going up and down fast enough to get the fuel-air mixture compressed and get a spark going.
But you know,
with a lot of women. They have their body strength to do it in many cases.
Exactly. But, you know, my mom taught me when I was a kid, and I don't know if it's still true. She says, no woman wants a weak man. And I remember that, and I have seen relations where the woman are constantly browbeating a man. You know, I see it I used to live in a Jewish neighborhood, and I see it all the time with the old man, the old Jewish guy walking, and then the wife behind her and screaming and yelling at him, and he's just ignoring her, turns off his hearing aid. But I really believe that it's true to this day that women want somebody with compassion and love and understanding and cuddles and security, that kind of thing. But they don't, they want somebody who maybe cry once in a while during a chick flick, but they don't want a guy constantly crying all the time. I don't know if a woman, and this is what I mean by weak men, I don't think a woman wants to have complete control of a relationship and not have some man saying, whoa, you know, put on the brake. That's what I mean. And Melissa's in the studio, and I asked Melissa, Melissa, would you like a docile guy? I mean, a submissive man? Would that make you happy?
No, maybe a little bit sometimes, a little bit. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't want to be with some wimp.
I say that if you got to pick between a submissive man, you got to pick an extreme. He's either got to be submissive or dominant. You got to have a choice of in between. And you got to pick one or the other. I think you're going to submit the guy who's more dominant, aren't you?
Yeah, but I, you know why? Because I have a strong personality, and I would be so unchallenged by somebody that was some wimp. Do you know what I mean?
And that's the
I wouldn't
word,
want
challenged.
That.
That's the word, challenged. That's the million-dollar word. Women want to be challenged. Play a game of chess.
Women, I guess I said it, you're
taking it to an extreme I don't mean that I want to cause challenge, but I wouldn't want somebody to just constantly tell me, I don't know, or you just sit like some wimp.
Well, look, we got a woman in your relationship. The word there, a key word is woman, meaning an adult female human being. You got an adult living with you. You don't have a child. You can't treat your wife like she's a child. She's an adult.
No.
And, I mean, it's got to be, there has to be some sort of recognition that you're dealing with an adult that is fully, in their majority and fully capable of their own agency and their own beliefs. And if you don't have that recognition, you're just not going to have a good relationship. It just isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. True.
With a child, you can dominate your child. Order your child around. You can't order your partner around in a marriage. Good God.
Well, some women do, once they get married, and once they have a baby, they will automatically say, do this, don't do this, and they find themselves not doing it on purpose, but treating the husband as a child too, right?
That ain't gonna work either.
I know. And it's the same thing in the bedroom.
Unfortunately, we don't understand each other. Men and women still just don't understand each other.
That's what Sartre kept saying when he said the word communication, and that word, you cannot dismiss it as something menial. That is so important. Mm-hmm. That's like number one. You got to have the understanding and the communication with your significant other. You got to have it. Without it, you're going to have problems. You got to have
it. So true. I mean, like, I may never understand completely the aspects of women, all the variegated aspects and everything. I may never understand it completely, but I tell you one damn thing, I definitely understand a whole lot better now than I ever did.
Yeah, me too.
I think women
and
are
I know
caregivers.
It's significantly different.
Yeah,
you know
but it's not, not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, men and women are complementary, like complementary. They complement each other in an ideal relationship.
That's
why you
want to
look for that person who does.
Yeah, it sounds like Melissa.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I don't know.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's, you know, but you still have your role. Melissa said something that was very interesting. We all have roles to play. And she said that maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I got upset with her for she was saying roles. And I'm saying, well, I'm real. I'm coming real to you. I'm talking to you real and everything. And I think I misunderstood what she's saying. But the more and more we have this conversation about communication with women, we do have these roles to play. Yeah, you do want a kind of a dominant man, but not an aggressive, abusive man. You know, there's a big difference that we have to teach these men. It says, you know, you don't use your backhand and order somebody to do something. That is not what we're talking about. you know, as being right. a dominant man personality in the home. We're not talking about abuse.
Yeah.
And some women can be
yeah.
abusive, too.
No. Oh,
we're,
sure.
we're talking about
yeah.
There's some times where you play the role of, okay, I know it's sexist, but you're playing the role of, this is your role. You're a strong, dominant man, and I'm a strong, dominant woman. This is our roles we play, and this is where our children. Am I okay to use the word role charge, or is that not?
I cool. We got to look at the word dominant and submission in context. I mean, look, I've had to submit to a lot of men in the armed forces. I'd take orders and submit to the authority of commanding officer. Now, a lot of times I knew I was even better than that officer in some things, but I had to submit to it because it was proper in that role. In some respects, it is proper to submit to the authority of your spouse, and it's not necessarily the husband or the wife, it depends upon the situation, because they do have a certain either ability or an understanding of the issue, and if it's, particularly if it's an emergency, it's best to just go ahead and do it at that particular time. Okay, that's kind of the exception to the rule, but it's like anything else in life. There aren't absolutes about anything. Sometimes you should submit to the other person's authority in some matters.
And I agree with that. That's what I remember you thinking maybe I was saying that I was faking it. No, what I meant was what he just said. We've all got different roles. I have a different role as a grandmother, right? I have a different role as a mother, as a friend. It's just, there's all different aspects of my relationship. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, in that case,
right?
I completely agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just different, and it's not manipulation, it's not, it's just you have a different, of course, and everybody submits, you know, sometimes it's like, let him have it, right, let him have it.
Well, that comes
right.
to the point, what's that famous three-letter phrase, give and take?
Yep.
You know, it's, you don't find many relationships where one party doesn't come to it with strengths the other one doesn't have. And that
Absolutely.
Goes with the strengths the woman brings and or the man brings. And at times, those strengths should be deferred to when the situation is appropriate.
Yep.
Let
yep.
me ask you something, how far love goes. You're in love with your woman. She's in love with you. Everything, man. They got the communication and everything. She comes to you one night and says, you know what? I like your best friend. Let's have a threesome. Or, wait a minute, or... You know what?
Oh,
I want to please you. I know your fantasy has been a threesome. I know a girl at work, and I think we can enjoy her together. When she opens up that door, is it still love or does it change?
Man, that's something I would never even consider.
I think it takes a special kind of couple to be able to live that lifestyle, and they can have it. Because I think it probably is really difficult.
But is it love, though? Is it to share your...
What do you mean?
I don't...
What do you mean?
You know, one time Cindy said this to me, and I think it was a trap. To this day, it was a trap. I think it's a trap. But I'm going to take it as a good thing. It was my birthday. I was turning my birthday. And she goes, you know what? And it was these girls I was talking to. One girl was a twin. They were twin nurses. They were Asian nurses. She goes, you know, for your 40th birthday, guess what? You can have them. I go, really? Because I could. And then I thought, no, this is a trap. No.
It's a trap.
But can somebody love someone? And
maybe it was a joke.
I mean, is sex that pure and sacred that if you go out of your one-on-one relationship to have them share with another person, can it ruin the sanctity of the marriage and the trust?
Of course it could. I think some people have this special gift of, if that's your lifestyle, then that's what they do. You know, hey, whatever.
Watching another man screw your wife and spanking her and doing anal to her, and you're sitting back and saying, that's
oh
the woman
my
I
God.
Said, no, we're talking, it happened. Come on.
I can't.
You had to bring in the anal. You had to do
it. I do bring in anal. Because there are some guys who do it. I have to bring the anal in. Go ahead.
Look, the closest I ever came to what you're thinking about is like, you know, in moments of intimacy, you know, I mean, look, my wife didn't come to me as a virgin, okay? So I knew she'd been with other men, and sometimes in my mind I'll be wondering how she might have been with another man. And I would never have thought about ever engaging in a threesome with anyone with her ever. And that wasn't so. But I did often wonder about how other men thought about what I now had. I would think about that.
I think men think
and
about
yeah,
that.
I think about that, and sometimes it would even excite me enormously. Yeah. But not as something that I approach with her with, no, never, not under any circumstances.
Wow.
I never even shared that with her, except, well, one time I did. I said, you know, I kind of bring it up to her. I never really even brought it up with her. Because I felt that was kind of creepy to even bring that up with her.
Right.
Well, I think pillow talk is one thing, and then going into
swinger
lifestyle is a whole different ball game, you know? That's totally different. Oh, stretching. But interesting conversation. We had a good one yesterday on the phone with Laverne and me and Brian, and we were talking about the Bermuda Triangle and Loch Ness Monster and what was the other one? Oh, Sasquatch.
Cattle mutilation? Talking about cattle mutilation?
Huh?
You talk about cattle mutilations?
We didn't get to that part because Brian's phone died. We were just throwing some stuff around. We had a good time. It was an interesting conversation. You know, and you get to learn where everybody kind of stands with that kind of stuff.
Well, the government now is admitting that there's something to the UFO phenomenon. You got official government sources now admitting to it. So it's going to get a lot more press in the near future. Tucker Carlson's running a whole bunch of articles about UFOs and cattle mutilations and all kind of stuff. He's going into it in a fair amount of depth. So, yeah, that's going to be a topic that you're going to be hearing increasingly about in days and months to come. Stuff that's just, as of yet, not adequately explained, and it's well documented.
Question for you. When you were a police officer, did you ever respond to any calls of people saying they saw a UFO?
Yeah, when they were drunk.
Okay.
I had a drunk.
Okay,
driving under the influence, and he said the reason he was speeding was because he was trying to catch up with a UFO. He said, I'm trying to catch a UFO so I can prove that they exist. And he was just high as a kite. That's about the closest I ever came to it, though. That was absolutely hilarious. He was serious as a heart attack, too. He really believed he was chasing a UFO.
Wow. Like the pink elephants, huh?
Maybe they were pink elephants flying the flying saucer. But I do know other officers, though, who particularly those who worked in a rural part of the state, they said they saw things they couldn't explain. Looks like balls of fire.
My son is a commercial fisherman, right? And he's a pretty straight-laced guy. And he's told me some stories about things that he's seen way out at sea. And he's nobody to, you know what I mean? Not one of those fairy, wary people.
Yeah, you know, I think the most reliable reports are reports that come from trained pilots who are trained to understand aerial phenomenon and aerial, you know, things that, you know, can cause you to misinterpret things like lights in the sky and, you know, temperature gradients and stuff like that. And they understand.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to differentiate. And when they say they see things like formations of B-17 bombers, they during World War II, and they see these, they call them Foo Fighters, you know, these light streak sky. They weren't the German jets and rockets that were just, because they could pretty much identify those. These are something that were entirely different. They would write about it in great detail. They make reports in great detail about phenomena they just couldn't understand, and they didn't know what it was. And we got all kind of reports like that since then. And it really started around the time of World War II. You started getting these reports coming in. And they've been steadily coming in at ever-increasing rates in all the services. Remember, these are men that are trained, men and women that are trained in aerial phenomenon and how to distinguish between it. And they see things they can't. They're even detecting it on radar. So it's giving off radar impulses. So it's not just a matter of something being light.
I've heard some interesting stories.
So something, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm not going to dare say that I do. But something's going on out there.
Oh, yeah. We'd be stupid to think that it wasn't. Right?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
I think it might be. Maybe some people in the future figured out how to time travel. Every once in a while, we get a glimpse of them when they come back through the time curtain. And they got much more advanced aircraft and stuff like that.
You never know. You know, we talked about that yesterday. How were the pyramids built, and how did they do that without the equipment? And pretty crazy.
Yeah, they even have how did they do that? With levers and no pulleys? Come on, how did they do that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty crazy stuff. It was better than talking about politics.
No, these days, no. In normal times, it might be, but not with the political atmosphere we got these days. We are living in the most interesting of times ever.
More than the 60s.
I think it's even wilder. They haven't lived in the 60s. I think it's even wilder today than the 60s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In many respects, because it's tumultuous. There wasn't any people arguing about what the definition of a man and woman was in the 1960s. It was a non-existent argument.
I know, but you remember, though, Archie Bunker, and he was always the guys that would have the long hair, and he was always mad and looked like a woman, and it's interesting what we've turned into. Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the most profound, bizarre manifestation of, I think, a collective kind of cultural insanity we're witnessing now, where it's literally a well-established fact of what a woman is. It isn't a simulacrum of sexual organs, because you can mimic that. You can mutilate sexual organs all day long. That doesn't change whether you're a man or a woman. It's the chromosomes. No. It's well established. XX male. XY male. XX woman.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. You got any of those chromosomes in your body, and every one of these cells has got the chromosomes in it, you're a woman. Doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. But no, you got to actually fight about it. We can actually be told if you don't believe it, there's something wrong with you.
Yep. Yep. You're a hater. You're a hater.
Denier.
I don't understand
it
myself.
Not following science. It's crazy.
I keep seeing this story go by. Different outlets are putting it on Facebook about how a man had a baby. Come on.
And let's say it. And dare you, the thing about it is they will dare you to attempt to contradict it. Then the ridicule.
Yeah, I don't even.
And the person who ought to be ridiculed is these idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Pretty crazy.
I think it, climate change beliefs, I think they all go hand in hand. It's utterly irrational. And they want to completely upend the society based upon stuff that's either specious or outright untrue.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you could be right. You could be. Could be.
Here we are.
And
this insanity is not just coming from a bunch of crackpots who live in a basement. It's coming from the highest levels of our government and corporate interests.
I don't understand it. I'm going to tell you why.
We've never had anything like that before.
And then another thing I'm seeing are young girls at about from 14 till about 17, maybe 13 to 17, trying to transition, shaving their heads, starting to dress like guys. It's like, what? What? Is it something they're seeing or, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've always had lesbians and homosexuals. We've always had that, right? We've always had it. But this is somebody trying to change their gender.
Ever since then. Ever since human beings have existed.
It's gender changing. It's really weird. Brian's had a couple of transsexuals on the show. And it was an interesting conversation. Very interesting. And he wrecked it in the end, didn't you, Brian? I know he's listening.
Well, look, there's a few of them that are sensible. I mean, look, I would never vote for Kylie Jenner. But at least Kylie Jenner is kind of sensible about it. He doesn't demand that you accept what he is. He just says, I am what I am. Okay?
You mean
that's
Caitlin?
Fine. As long as you don't demand it, I accept the notion that you're a woman.
You mean Caitlyn?
Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner, yeah. Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner.
Who still has a penis and testicles.
Yeah, I watched Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner, as a decathlete, was one of the premier male athletes ever. And
I remember Bruce Jenner.
How many children is my father?
I think he's got 10 or 11.
Yeah. Man, I'm sorry, I don't care what he calls himself now. But at least he doesn't demand that we accept his notions. That's one thing I do like about him. He doesn't demand that we accept it. He doesn't think men ought to be competing against women in sports. He doesn't think it's fair because he understands even with all his treatments, he's still probably at his age, he's still probably athletically superior to most people in the country.
Yeah.
It's just insanity. And then when we stop to think of what they're doing to children, phalloplasty, idioplasty, and all these surgeries and mutilations on perfectly healthy sexual organs, this is not just abuse. This is outright criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is medical malpractice of the first rank. This is like Dr. Mengele stuff.
I think the UK is starting to, like, they're really looking into doing more therapy and deeper stuff before they do the, you know, hormone therapies and whatever to kids. And it needs to be done. It needs to be.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with anyone, any adult who wants to do that. If they want to do it and they can mind doctors do it, fine. Okay, let them do it. But on children, that ought to be a crime.
Well,
he was going to come in on this. This has been a subject we've beaten to death on here, haven't we?
What's going on?
We're talking about, we kind of went into transgender, but we've beaten this subject to death. I'll tell you, we have.
I'm sure we have.
People that really believe that it, you know, that it's normal and it happens and they are born that way, and then there are others that say,
You know something? I believe that there may be a natural component to transgenderism. I believe it is entirely possible, given the incredible variation in human mentality and psychological outlooks. And I think it's entirely possible there's a natural component to it. But there's a natural component of mental illness, too. That doesn't mean we're supposed to accept it.
Which they haven't figured out yet. Maybe this is, Brian believes it's mental illness.
I think there is a sign of mental illness. I think sexual dysphoria is a sign of mental illness.
That's what Brian believes with us. Right, Brian?
Yeah. You know, you're literally at odds with the way you were physically created.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to put it. There's all kind of mental dysfunction that has a natural aspect. Doesn't mean we have to accommodate it.
But is it a collective thing? Because why does it happen so much? Why?
cultural Marxism is an opportunity for the cultural Marxists to help implement their agenda. They use it as an opportunity. They're using these people as the stalking horse to upend the notions of male masculinity, femininity, and family. I mean, we remember, we gotta stop missing the forest for the trees. This is another tree in the war of cultural Marxists against all. It's another forest in the tree. Step back to the tree. They want to upend every institution. They want a fundamental transformation. That's the way they put it.
We've been doing that in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. It's nothing different, Sarge. We always had that sexual revolution. We always had the women's rights and the equal rights. And we always had upending certain aspects of our society to move forward. We always had it. And it's not really Marxist.
Remember,
it's just,
we have a concerted movement that outlined the procedures for how they were going to do it. And the playbook is being followed because it's been so widely implemented throughout academia and the media. The playbook they laid out in the 1920s is being followed almost to a T.
Yes.
It's not like it's a natural evolution.
Yeah.
We're gonna end this cast on Sarge's porn. Donald Trump. I'm giving you red meat.
Oh, God.
I'm giving Sarge red meat. He's been such, come on, he's been such
this
a good
is beyond belief,
this whole
man.
Time.
I don't believe your enemies are all like this one.
He's been a good sport all this time. Give him his red meat.
Can't we just have, I mean, you know what? I mean,
he's not
going to
have me a softball like
this and
let it go. You know that. Come on.
I don't want him to be president again. I would rather have Mitt Romney than this guy, okay? That's how I feel.
You can't be serious, Cheryl.
I am serious.
Mittens? Come on.
I know,
look, the bottom line, here's the bottom line, Brian. It doesn't matter to me who the president is. This is now a matter of separation of powers and the Constitution. It's got nothing to do with Donald Trump, whether I like him or not. I hate Joe Biden. I think he stole the election, but since he is considered to be the president, he has certain authority to do certain things, whether it's him, whether it's the usurper Obama, who's another usurper, but since people installed him as president and said he was president, that means he has authority to do certain things. Doesn't matter whether I like him or dislike him. It simply has to do with the Constitution, separation of powers, and the powers and authority of the executive. Period. That's what the issue is more than anything else to me.
Do you like to divide?
The President of the United States does not need some bureaucrat's permission to declassify information. The very second he says it's declassified and tells his subordinates it is. Period.
But you don't take it home.
Bureaucrat that can gainsay the President on declassification authority?
But Sarge, when do you take it home? Sarge, come on.
You got to separate the issues here. Remember what this search warrant was seeking to accomplish. There were three issues in the search warrant. Number one was mishandling of classified information. That was number one on the warrant. I'm talking about their warrant. Number two was potential obstruction of justice. And number three was, I forget what the other third one was. There were three things on the warrant. And whether or not the legal basis for this warrant was supposed to be. Now, look, if the President of the United States has some classified materials that the archivist under the Presidential Records Act think should be in the National Archives, then if you look at the Presidential Records Act, there is no enforcement mechanism. There is no criminal penalty for violation of it. Just go read it. You understand, Brian? It is a civil matter. So if there's something he's got that is declassified, remember, the president has complete authority to declassify anything that comes across his desk.
If they're a president,
if president
he wasn't a president.
Forget the name Trump. If the president declassified the material, then the issue is whether or not it should be returned to the National Archives, which is a matter of lawsuit, Brian. It's a lawsuit. And the man was cooperating with the federal authorities. The objects were under subpoena. All the federal government had to do was issue a new subpoena, demand the return. If a judge found that he did not obey the subpoena, then President Trump could be held in contempt of court. It's a civil matter. Do you not understand?
Yikes. You know, if I had autism, I would shoot myself in the head.
Wait, but do you understand what I'm trying to say here? I mean, the President of the Record Act has no criminal violation provisions. None. Read it. There's no enforcement mechanism. It is a civil matter. Like you and me suing you over something that you kept. We were roommates. We broke up. You took something that I think belongs to me. I take you to court and I sue you about it. That's all it is.
He cannot be mishandling classified information. You cannot compare a man who holds nuclear confidentiality documents to me and you living together and you decide to take my beanbag.
I'm telling you, when it comes to the president, see, this is why you don't elect somebody the president who's reckless, okay?
Right.
That's why you want someone who's prudent who won't do stupid things. That doesn't mean he doesn't have the authority to do it.
But if he's got
this stuff and he's selling it to a foreign power, then yes, he would be guilty of espionage.
You guys will make up another.
But he's got the authority to do it. Look, the president will go to
Donald
a national
Trump
security briefing,
some nuclear
have a top secret
to Russia. You'll
secure
make up another
compartmentalized information come across to his attention. He could look at this TSSCI matter, which is the highest level of security in the United States. And decide at that very moment. I think this is so important for the American people to know. I'm going to announce a press conference in 10 minutes. I'm going to go out and tell the American people what's on this document. There ain't nobody can tell him he can't do it. Nobody. It might be reckless. It might be imprudent. It might even be grounds for impeachment, which is another civil matter. The point of the matter is he has the authority to do it, period. End of story.
Do you think Donald Trump?
They don't have to go to some bureaucrat who fills out the check boxes. And did he go through the administrative procedure to declassify? No, he's got the immediate declassification authority.
Okay. Do you think that Donald Trump will end up in handcuffs? What do you think?
I think they'll try to put him there. They won't. I don't believe, based on everything I know thus far, that they have any legal case whatsoever to do it. If they do, I have to see some more information that has yet to be revealed.
But it will never make the Trump supporters happy, whatever information that would be legal.
It's not a partisan matter with me, Brian. And what are the authorities of any chief executive? I mean, you keep making it like it's a partisan matter with me, and I'm trying to explain to you. It is a matter of the authority of the chief executive.
Which is Biden.
But here's the thing. Now, Brian is saying he's going to revoke the executive privilege of the former
president.
No, but that's
Biden.
Man, look, if the president can reject legitimate executive privilege invoked by the president at the time, then what good is executive authority? It has to stay with the executive the moment he made it when he was president.
The question is whether or not it was a legitimate invocation of executive privilege.
You can have Biden say, I'm going to reject your executive privilege, what you did when you were the executive. Otherwise, it's meaningless.
Well, let me see if I understand your argument, because if I do understand your argument, it doesn't hold water, because you're saying that any president, including Obama, can classify something and declassify it. Let's say Obama.
Yeah, Biden can reclassify this stuff if he wants. See, you're not getting my point.
Exactly.
Right? The president has the ultimate classification and declassification. If the president wants to reclassify this information, then he can. But here's what he cannot do. He cannot hold the former chief executive criminally liable for having done it when he was the executive.
Our voices.
So look, getting the records back, if the president has them in his authority and he's already cooperating with the governmental authorities that are seeking to put them back in the archives, then that is a matter for the Presidential Records Act, which is a civil matter. The Secret Service or the FBI had come down there in June. They looked over the facilities. They said they were not quite secure to their satisfaction. They asked them to put an additional lock on where they were kept. The Trump people cooperated with that, and they did so. And then when they came back and they found the additional lock there, they used that as a basis to say he's obstructing justice. Because he put a lock that they told him to put on it.
Well, they're a little bit more involved than that. They had communication with this.
Wait a second.
This is a put-up job, Brian.
Yes, Melissa.
Why did he have them? Why did he have them?
Because they are presidential records, and the President of the United States said, by executive order, Trump said, that any materials he removes with him to Mar-a-Lago are declassified. And that,
why would he?
Remember, right up to the very second he left office, he had the authority to do exactly that. Again, now, if it is a matter for the archives, if they want them back, that is a matter for a judge to decide at a civil proceeding involving the Presidential Records Act. It isn't a criminal matter.
But, sorry,
now, the
why
president
would you
doesn't
take
comply,
that document anyway?
If President Trump doesn't comply with the judge's decision, then he can be held in contempt of court.
Okay.
All right.
See, this is all a put-up job. They're trying to smear this man so he doesn't run for president. That's all this is.
Well, I agree with you.
This is not a valid exercise of judicial authority.
Right.
I mean, you got to get Bill Clinton hiding the tapes in his sock drawer. They didn't go raid his house. You got Hillary Clinton with a private server in Chappaqua with classified information of the highest security level, unsecured, coming into her basement in her house. You've got Obama with 33 million classified documents.
Comey said there was no
document. Did nobody raid none of their houses?
The FBI did investigate Hillary Clinton and found that there was nothing that she did wrong with those documents. And
I heard his press conference. He described criminal actions under the Espionage Act, and then he redefined the criminal acts from reckless. He called it from gross negligence, which is what the statute
to
said.
Reckless.
To recklessness, which is not what
yes.
the statute said. He
but
literally invented the law on the fly
stuff,
to get
take
off
it to your
the
house,
hook.
Put it under your basement.
Wait a minute, did you hear James Comey re-legislate the law in a press conference?
Yes,
I did.
I did.
Okay, well, he can't do that. The law says gross negligence. It doesn't say reckless or intent. There's not a word in there about intent or recklessness, not a syllable. That was something James Comey added to get her off the hook.
I want to thank Sarge for being so nice and humble. You get it's almost like he whispers to you, and you can hear how he really feels.
Oh, no.
No, I'm emphatic because I'm just so sick of these lies and distortions that say about matters of fact.
And that's what we love about you, Sarge. Thank you so much for coming in. I always enjoy when you do it. That magnificent Melissa, the Duchess of Maine, thank you for coming in, too, sweetheart. It's good to hear your voice and your opinion. You guys make the show great.
Well, thank you.
I will see you guys tomorrow, huh?
Oh, sure.
Right. Oh, by the way, I want to send you a link to the press conference that Lieutenant Mike Zullo gave on Obama's birth certificate and the 19 aspects of fraud that were forensically proven on that press conference. I want to send you a link to it. You go watch it for yourself.
Okay, well, but you know my
it's
email.
No doubt about it. If you believe in forensic document examination, he meticulously laid out the reasons as to why it is a fraudulent counterfeit.
I will look at it, and I would read everything. And I want to thank the erotic women out there who are supporting the Brian and Hammer Jackson show. I want to thank you, erotic women, who are flirting with me. You keep me up at night, and I thank you. And some things I cannot do anymore. But you still have patience with me. Thank you, erotic women. All right. Sarge.
Okay.
Hammer, AOD.
When are you
going to
be back on again,
David at gmail.com. Please send it to me. I'll be anxious to read it. Thank you, Sarge.
Thank
you back, Melissa. Thank you, Sarge. I wish you back on the police force because I feel safer knowing that you're out there instead of in your home. Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you, sir. But when are you going to be back on again?
I'll be on tomorrow morning. I just got notified that my schedule is clear until next month, so it looks like I'll be on every day until
September 27th.
You're in trouble.
No. I just got, you know, some meetings, production meetings and stuff like that. My schedule is just clear. Some people
right.
taking vacations.
Well, I'm going to pester you then. I'm going to pester you. You're going to be in trouble.
Well, you do that. I like it. All right, guys. Thank you for making this podcast enjoyable.
Have
I'll see you guys
day,
later.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk to you then.
Okay, man. Be safe.